The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. And nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Drive me!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah.
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
27-yard field goal attempt coming for the Ravens to win it. I said, unless there's a bad snap or a block or some kind of a penalty. Set to go. Cook to hold. Got the snap. Ball down. The kick is up. The kick is good. And the game is over. And the Patriots lose by a point.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Why do I have the feeling that this is going to be a crazy, crazy show? Because it is going to be. This is a crazy week in the NFL. Obviously, the referee situation is all the talk, and last night just culminated it. Something has to be done really, really fast in order for there not to be just mutiny, I think, on the behalf of coaches, players, and as we already see, fans are literally protesting in Green Bay. So something has to be done. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the Patriots' 31-30 loss in Baltimore Sunday night. And let me tell you, guys and girls, it's not time to be panicking. I am not panicking about this Patriots team. I'm upset, but I'm not discouraged. And I'll tell you one thing, those players aren't either. I pity the Bills this week. As I sit here right now, I have no doubt that the Patriots are going to go into Buffalo on Sunday and just take it out on the poor Buffalo Bills. They are going to take it out on them. This is a pissed off football team, the Patriots. They're pissed off at the refs. They're pissed off at the league for letting this happen. They're pissed off at themselves for not putting that game away when they had a chance. The offense is pissed off at itself. The defense is pissed off at itself. The coaches are pissed. They're pissed, but they're not discouraged, and they are going to take it out on the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills have won two games in a row. Patriots have lost two games in a row. Who do you think is going to go into this game with more of a chip on their shoulder? I don't care how much the Bills have improved in the offseason, and I think they have. I said before the season they were going to be the biggest contenders to the Patriots in the AFC East. I stick by that, but in this particular game, the Patriots are going to impose their will on the Buffalo Bills, and it's not going to be a contest. I'm telling you right now. And this isn't just Homer Fred talking. I was the one on the blog before the game that said the Patriots needed to score 31 points to be okay in that game. All right? They scored 30. They lost. All right? That's, 31 would have tied it. But they didn't do what I said. They lost the game. I knew it was going to be a tough game. All these people say, take the Ravens in the under and all that stuff. I knew the Patriots could score points on the Baltimore Ravens. I knew they could, and they did. Despite all the offensive problems, they scored points on the Ravens. They just didn't do it at the end. But they scored 30 points on the Ravens, and I knew they could. but they just didn't put it away at the end when they had a 9-point lead. So there's a lot to talk about here. Paul and Andy just showed up. I don't know why, you know, they can't show up on time for a radio show that starts at noon.
Replacement officials.
And there's no
we
nothing
didn't know
else
what time
going
the game
on.
Started.
Yeah, but you know.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Andy, Andy was posting.
There's nothing else going on. I was writing Ask PFW.
Well,
we do have other jobs
all,
other than
you
this.
Had all morning to plan to be here at noon. You couldn't make sure you were here at noon.
How long do you think it takes to do Ask PFW?
I don't know, but you know, come in a little earlier.
Okay, I'll answer less. Answer less questions.
Be on time for your commitments.
Okay,
we apologize.
I'll answer less questions next time. That's per order of the boss.
So you guys missed the whole opening monologue.
Well, I caught the ridiculous part of it where you said you had no doubt they'd score 30 points on the Ravens. I don't know where you are on this offense. Like, I really can't gauge you.
I well,
are they good or are they not good? Are you totally confident the offense, no matter what defense they face, are going to score points or not?
I think they have the ability to, yes, absolutely. And like Brady said, it's all about execution. They have
because I had doubts. I mean, I wasn't sure they were going to go into Baltimore and score 30.
They have the talent to score points on anybody. But, you know, if this offensive line doesn't get settled, it's going to be a problem. But they have the talent to score points on anybody.
Well, I didn't think
league.
The offensive line was all that settled. I thought it was another week where they were okay at times and not okay at others.
And, well, and I think that you're seeing it a little bit in how much they're using Gronkowski as a blocker.
Right.
Yeah.
And that hurts their offense.
Right.
Now, it didn't hurt their offense.
But they scored 30.
Sunday
night, it didn't. So how much did it hurt?
And despite that, they scored 30, yes.
It didn't hurt their offense Sunday night, but it potentially could.
Yeah.
Or maybe it did hurt their offense.
Right. Maybe they
maybe the offenses of recent years that scored 35-40, you would have won that game instead of losing.
I mean, here's the thing. You know, no matter what, you want to make fun of me for making declarations, or I want to make fun of you for making declarations. At this point in the season, we're in week three with replacement refs. Nothing's definitive. Well, you can't say that any game is the way it should be because, A, it's early and teams are still getting their legs, and, B, you don't know what's going on in the game.
Well, that's I said to Paul, I think what's being overshadowed by all the officials, which is clearly the biggest story should be, because nothing else, you're right, nothing else can be said definitively.
Right.
But I think it's overshadowing what I said last week. I think it's going to be whatever, if you want to call it parity or competitive balance, I want to call it mediocrity. I think that anybody can win. You have all these teams now that are 1-2, 2-1. I think it's going to be a year where 11, 12 wins is probably going to be potentially a number one seed. It's not going to be 15-1 as your number
but
one
seed. But
you're
not saying that's a result of the refs.
No. I'm saying that's being overshadowed. The actual action on the field, which to me is maybe the most competitive NFL. You know, you watch that game last night. You have a team that the Packers, supposed to be a Super Bowl team, and you have a team like the Seahawks, and that Seahawks defense was just swarming, flying all over the field, and all that gets overshadowed. The story of football, the actual football that the Packers are 1-2 and the Seahawks have this great swarming defense is overshadowed because the officials suck.
Right.
So the football is getting lost in the officials.
Yep.
And we're not saying that the officials shouldn't be the overwhelming.
No,
majority.
It is.
It is.
But it's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
Football, the National Football League is supposed to be about football, and right now it isn't.
No. This game, I know Paul and I have already disagreed. Look.
I haven't disagreed.
And here's my statement.
He's disagreeing that you disagree.
There's no doubt that the Patriots had a chance to win this game and they blew it. They had several opportunities to put it away. They just didn't do it.
You can't argue that.
But
when they had a 9-point lead,
that's why I said I want to make sure. I want to hear what he says.
The team that was 110-5 with 9-point leads.
It's pretty tough to do that and overcome these referee calls. And look, I know that the calls were bad on both ways, but. And I don't think that the refs had it out for the Patriots or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But it just...
For the first time in my life, I'm not taking stuff like that off the table. I don't know that they didn't have it out for anybody.
Okay, but
see, I think that's giving them too much credit.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
I think
that's a good point, Paul.
I think giving them the credit that they could control games is beyond them.
Right.
I think they are so far over their heads
over their head
that they couldn't be on the take.
But I think it just so happens, the way the chips fell, that there were more... drive extending or game changing calls that went against the Patriots and than the Ravens. Just so happens that way. So I don't think there was any conspiracy. It just so happened and it's unfortunate. And I think, you know, Patriots fans have a right to be frustrated. At the end of the day, even then, the Patriots still had a chance to win this game and they just didn't do it. You know, so we'll talk about giving up over 500 yards on defense or, you know, that last drive on offense where, you know, run into the middle of the line, sack, pressure incomplete, and it's the end of the drive, you know.
After they got two first downs on penalties.
Right. So we'll talk about that last drive as well, you know, where something that the Ravens dialed up, the Patriots just couldn't answer. You know, But it's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Now, as far as the field goal goes, I don't know. Apparently, there was a YouTube video this morning that even Ravens fans were admitting showed that it wasn't a good field goal. It had been taken down. Someone got to the person who published it, and it has been taken down.
Someone got to him.
I can't imagine.
Is he dead?
Wait a minute. You're telling me that a fan took a YouTube video?
Yeah.
In the league?
Oh, I don't know who took it. I don't know. I don't even know what the source of the video was.
Did you see it?
No.
Oh.
No.
Because I don't think they could take down. Can they take down a cell phone camera?
NFL, if it's taken in the bowl, the NFL controls all that video, and if they find it out, they have.
That's a bigger story than this Packers game. If that's the case.
All I know, now you're covering up.
Yeah,
right.
All I know is that they have a right to take down any video that's game action. But all I know is the video.
That ain't why they took it down.
The video.
Do they always take them down?
If they find them, yes, they do. Because I've gone to a lot of links, and they said this has been removed. Which is what happened with this one. It had been removed.
They spent more time fixing the problem than covering it up.
Unbelievable.
Now, despite what the author says as conclusive proof, I doubt it because I don't think there's any one angle that can prove that was in or
out. The only person on the planet who knows where the ball was, X and Y at the exact time, is the guy looking straight up under the goalpost.
Exactly.
The problem is you don't trust him, nor should you, by the way, based on everything else.
We talked about this morning, on all those kicks, you never see the ball more than 6-7 feet above the goal. Why not just extend those posts for crying out loud and be done with this?
Somebody has been big on this rant, I guess, for years, and they did the math, and it's like $50 per set of goalposts it would cost the NFL in, like, steel.
Oh, for God's sake.
But there's so many different things they could do, too. I mean, it's amazing to me that it's still working on technology that they were using, like, in the 50s.
But that's how it is.
It's amazing to me.
How do they set the goalpost to make sure they're straight? A guy stands there and looks at him while the other guy wraps a rope around it and tugs on it a little.
You know,
that doesn't seem right.
They've got a level.
And the goalposts are usually... You're lucky if they have a level. I've seen them do it without a level.
I've seen them do it with the eyeballs.
That
Buffalo game when the wind in 08, well, they didn't use any levels.
That was ridiculous.
They try to pick something behind it that's supposedly straight, and if it looks the same, they go with it. But, I mean, they leave them lying out here on the floor when they're not. It's not like it's just a piece of pipe to them that these guys put up and try to make look straight.
You know, how about the fact that games are won and lost literally by a blade of grass, and the first down markers are still – they have this chain that is – 10 yards long. I mean, there's no better way. There's no technology that can be used to have, your down markers a little bit more exact than if the chain gets kinked in a certain way, it could cost the team a game.
Yeah. The other thing I said,
they're like me. They do it the way they've been doing it for years. And damn it, that's the way we do it.
But even think about it. Like everybody always says, well, no, when they bring them out and they measure on the field, they make sure. Yeah. Well, what about the play in the hurry up where the referee has to kind of look and eyeball it, and who knows what the chain is like on the side.
Right.
Who knows if it's on an angle? Who knows if it's perfectly straight? And the ref's got to make a decision because he can't blow the whistle because that screws the defense, and you got to make a call.
It's so funny how ball placement is done in the NFL. You know, it needs to be so precise, yet it's just a guy eyeballing.
How many times do the three of us sit in the press box every game and say, oh, there was a good spot.
Right.
Oh, what a terrible spot they just got.
Right.
It's amazing.
And the whole thing where they pace it off, why are you pacing it off? There are markers on the field. So whatever your landmark is, if it's just before the 24, then it should be just before the 29. I don't need you striding five paces because your feet are close to a yard or whatever. Well, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they got what they wanted. And I do stand by my original premise of the officiating. This kind of stuff is not just completely new. I mean, we've seen games decided on...
No, but the frequency is rampant. The frequency.
But, yeah. But this... I think it's the reaction is rampant at this point. But... The situation, this is what they want. Andy said it exactly right. They're worried about all the cover-ups and all of this other stuff. This is what they deserve. They've reaped what they've sowed. Well, this is exactly what they deserve.
Jerry Jones goes, what? What are you talking
somebody
about?
You don't think that it's that important, and you just are just confident and completely focused on winning every single battle just because you can,
right?
This is what happens.
And somebody said that the call last night in the Seattle game was the worst ever in the NFL. I remember that Phil Luckett call was pretty bad.
I got a thousand there with it.
Now, yeah. I don't think they've come this frequently in three weeks of NFL action.
It's the frequency.
Where on one game we gave away 20 yards, on the other game we missed this call.
It happens every three weeks or a month.
I think the worst call made over the weekend was in that Detroit-Tennessee game.
I don't because I blame the guys on the side.
I don't see how you can do that.
That has nothing to do with replacement officials.
No, but what I'm saying is the result of the play gave Tennessee 12 yards.
Right.
I think that we can all look at this play last night and say that Tim Jennings, whatever the Jennings, not Tim because he was on the Bears.
Greg
Jennings.
No, who's the guy that made the interception? I thought his last name was Jennings.
Oh, for Seattle?
No, for
Green Bay.
Yeah, I thought his last name was Jennings, but I might be wrong.
No, it is. His name's Jennings.
I think we all can sit there and say that, and they're showing it still, that he intercepted the ball. But there is a time where there are a lot of hands in there, and the guy made a call, and I think he made the wrong one. I think we all can agree on that. But you can't make an argument for just moving the ball randomly 12 yards forward in overtime.
Right.
You can't.
That should be something that they can look at, and the guy who's supposed to be helping these refs say, no, you made a mistake.
But there's been those every week, too, with timeouts, with timing, with a minute in a game. I mean,
It's astounding to me how many of those kinds of clerical errors are being made that aren't
by
judgment.
Supposedly full-time employees who are NFL observers who are always there.
Yeah.
These guys are being hung out.
You know what this shows you? How much the real officials cover up how bad the NFL observers are that are on the sideline.
The other thing I said before you guys got here was I have no doubt, and I usually don't come out this strong, but I have no doubt that the Patriots are going to go to Buffalo and take it out on the Bills. This won't even be a game.
It
won't even be a game.
Well, I'm going to actually do your job for you a little bit because we got some tweets early. People were not happy with your therapy last week, and they need more therapy this week.
Yeah,
I don't know how you can really feel all that bad coming out of this game as a Patriots fan. You were on the road against the team you beat for the AFC title last year that went down to the final controversial play, and you came down to a final controversial play where you had a lead on the road and sort of kicked it away.
Right.
But defensively, the next time you face an offense like that will be the Houston Texans on December 10th.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing to me to be upset about from that loss. Now, the combination of the week before losing to the Cardinals at home, the 1-2 combination there is worrisome, but this game, I don't see how you can feel bad about that game on any level.
I also said,
I largely agree with Andy.
And, you know, from talking to a lot of the players after the game, a lot of it was off the record. I talked to them.
But now it can be on the record because the league's not finding anybody.
But
no,
I'm just kidding, Fred.
This is a pissed off football team. They're pissed at the league and the refs and the owners and all that. They're also pissed at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They know they could have won that game. The defense is pissed at itself. The offense is pissed at itself. They know that they could have done it. They left plays on the field, and I really think they're going to take it out on the poor, pathetic Buffalo Bills.
Screw the
poor part. That's the reason why I think they're going to do it. Andy hit it right in the head. Look what you're facing.
Yeah.
You know, you have two or three more games that the other team can provide resistance. Lost in the shuffle of that Seattle Seahawks euphoria last night was a pathetic display of an offense.
Right.
What do you think the Patriots are going to do to that
this
team?
Russell Wilson guy, I am not sold on this guy.
This Russell Wilson guy.
They are going to kill
story,
that team.
Well, I am always hesitant of the guys that are, you know, the intangible. He oozes intangible.
Right.
Well, I need some of the tangibles. I need the ability to play the game.
Yeah. And I like Russell Wilson, but I just don't think he's big enough or strong enough to play NFL quarterback. You can't do the things physically that it takes.
Maybe he and Tim Tebow, a few other guys, can go create a team of just like intangibles and see how they match up.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. As expected,
calls are stacking
emails
up.
Emails are flying in.
Holy
calls
crap.
Are stacking up. Let's go to first Al Ari in Herndon, Virginia. Hey, Ari.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I don't usually call in, occasionally email you, but I am so pissed off after this weekend.
Good.
That I felt like I needed to call in.
Absolutely.
Don't swear.
I've never said this before. I'm considering boycotting football. I can't stand this.
You're not the only one. They're protesting in Green Bay as we speak.
These games are just awful. And, I know the Patriots played badly enough to lose both of those games, but in my mind, you know, they got robbed on both. I think that Gronkowski, that fake holding call against Gronkowski, would have scored the touchdown against Arizona. Game over.
And what if Arizona went down to score after that?
And I think this week against the Ravens, you know, that call against McCourty, you know, which would have been 3rd and 14 instead of a first down on that last touchdown drive that the Ravens had.
Well.
Wait, the pass interference?
No, well, the second one was
definitely. Oh, okay, the first one.
There was one call on McCourty that was egregiously
bad. It was a bad call.
It was egregiously bad.
Bad call.
There was a call earlier on Mayo that was a bad call that extended a drive.
I thought that was a good call.
Whoever heard of a 2-yard interference call? I just, you know, that's just.
What difference does it make how long it is?
Two yards.
Well, if the ball's in the air, it's interference.
If the ball's in the air, you can't touch him, and he was touching him the whole time.
Yeah, that's why it's interference and not illegal contact. You couldn't have illegal contact.
Yeah, but but usually when both guys hit each other off the line, they don't call that, even if the ball is in there.
I thought the whole way he was running across, he was unnecessarily manhandling him. I thought that was a bad play by Mayo. Totally unnecessary because, as the caller, Ari, points out, it was 2 yards. Who cares if he catches it for 2 yards?
Yeah.
That was a bad play by Mayo. He put himself in a position where something like that could happen, and they called a ticky-tack foul on him.
That may well be. It just seems to me that I'm seeing this pattern where it seems like the ref, when there's a loud home crowd, these replacement refs are just thoroughly intimidated.
Well, that has been written today that they're definitely intimidated, not just by the coaches, but by the home crowd.
Yeah, and the same way last night.
Yep.
Yeah, but the Gronkowski play was here. We lost here.
Right.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, just wanted to
I'm
clarify
I'm talking
that.
About this pattern I saw over the weekend.
But, Ari, I agree. I mean, I think Andy's right about the Cardinals game, but I agree with you. I think these guys are affected by the environment, and it's. I think it's noticeable.
Yeah, they're just in over their heads.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, Ari.
That's
hey,
all
listen.
I want to say. Thank you.
Listen,
Ari.
It's okay to be pissed, Ari, because I know the Patriots are too.
If you're not pissed after a game like that Sunday night,
and they're going to turn that piss and vinegar into a sound defeat of the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. I have no doubt about it.
I don't either.
I really don't.
I don't know why you seem to be trying to start an argument. We're a lockstep with you, Freddie. We take our lead from our leader.
No, but
we all agree 1,000%.
I usually don't come out that strongly about Patriots crushing another team. You know, I usually give
respect. You used to.
Should I
you
go back
lately.
To the rape and pillage?
I usually gave respect to the opponent, but, you know, but. But
you respect the opponent.
Not this week.
Not only Buffalo's overmatched to begin with, their best player is hurt and out. I mean, it's just there's no way. I totally agree with you.
Let's go to Tyrone in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
Good. Hey, Bring back Randy Moss, or what are we doing here?
Well, first I want to give props to Logan Mankins because you could tell that he is healthy now because he played a good game. So I'm going to give him props. You can imagine if Brian Waters was next to him. You can imagine what that would have been doing. Rob Gronkowski won't be blocking all the time. But you could tell, but I got to disagree with you this morning when you said, well, you know, you got to feel good. Yeah, it was but to me, that was Patriots' best shot right there because they played a quality team. And like I said, Baltimore Ravens, they could stop the run with the linebackers and stuff like that, but they're not a pass-rushing team. So for them, that was a good shot, and you know, let's hope that could continue. But my concern is that, you know, like I predicted, that pressure was coming up in the middle, and you guys just said it just now that Rob Gronkowski is doing more blocking than on run, and when he's doing that hurt the team. Conley was not the pressure wasn't coming around the end; it was coming up the middle, and. You know, that's another reason why we lost this game.
Well, I don't know if that's true all the time. I mean, for example, that last play where Brady was pressured into the interception, the incomplete, that definitely came around from, you know, his blind side. I think Solder missed a block, actually. And he was left standing blocking no one, and the guy came right around him.
I don't think Baltimore had much. They didn't blitz at all, and I don't think they had much pressure in the game, to be honest with you.
They had a big sack
early and a big sack late, and in between, I thought Brady had all day.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that pressure was mostly coming from the middle.
Yeah, but
I didn't see much pressure, is what I'm telling you.
I think for the most part, Paul's right. Brady did have time.
I thought Brady
and
was
saw it in the numbers. He killed him at times.
I thought he at times created his time. I thought the old Brady was back. I thought he stepped up. I thought he slid. I thought he made good decisions with the football. I didn't think he panicked or looked.
Yeah,
I thought he looked off his game. You know when they say you want to get him off his spot against the Cardinals?
Right.
I thought he was mentally off his spot. Things were moving fast, and he didn't know what was going on. This game, I thought it slowed down. And he did what he wanted.
Yeah, I thought he had a great game.
He did.
You know.
Now, the thing I'll say, though, with the Gronkowski is that's even magnified with Hernandez out. Now your two $90 million focal points of the offense, one's on crutches and one's blocking.
Well, not only that, but then you get to the end of the game, and Lloyd's banged up. He's hurt, and Edelman's out of the game. You know,
which, by the way, that's an Edelman thing.
Yes.
You know, if we're going to make him part of the offense, we need to know he can be part of the offense.
That's right.
And I still don't really know how he got hurt. Spiking?
Some people say it might have been during the celebration, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. If that's true, I'm done with Julian Edelman. Move on. You can be our punt returner. We're not investing anymore in you.
But he had some type of brace around his thumb. You know, it looked like one of those bowlers braces that you put on, you know, on the PBA.
How did he get hurt spiking the ball, though?
Oh, I don't know. That's what I just heard. But beyond that,
he's hurt.
Yeah.
And that's a problem with him being able to count on
him. And if you're a receiver and your hand is hurt, it's kind of hard to catch the ball. Yeah, so that's a big deal and one that we'll have to monitor. But hurt or not hurt, they're going to take it out on the Bills. Luckily,
Fred just waiting for anyone, please argue with him that they're not going to kill the Bills.
Luckily, Welker wasn't obsolete.
Well, we didn't trade him, which is good.
Yeah. I think he can still play, huh?
Good, tell you.
What do you have, 140
Since he's become
yards?
Obsolete, he's gotten back to the guy who's going to average like 17 a catch.
Right. 232 yards since he was obsolete.
Somehow our guy
yards.
Who averages 17 a catch is averaging like 9 a catch, and our guy who's supposed to average 9 a catch is now averaging like 17 a catch.
Before we get to our next call, what do you think about the
Brandon ratio?
The carry ratio between Ridley and Woodhead. I mean, I think it was 15-11 or something
like
that.
You're asking the wrong crew. The
like
crew
it.
That wanted to cut Woodhead.
But, 15-13. The only thing I could think of is because Brady likes to change things up, if he changes to pass at the line and Ridley's back there protecting him, that's not good. But if he changes from run to pass at the line and Woodhead,
that's awful.
I have a shot.
No. And I've been... I don't know why Ridley has been labeled a two-down back. No, I think that's their philosophy.
That's exactly why.
But everything I've seen from spring all summer into the season, Ridley has shown me the ability to catch the football. He's shown me the ability to block. He's shown me the ability.
Okay, has he shown me the ability to block?
Yes, absolutely. Did you see that blitz pickup the other night?
I want to see him fail. I've seen Woodhead get killed on pass protection.
He's terrible.
What's going on?
I think they are stuck in Woodhead is our experienced change of pace spread back.
That's what Bill said yesterday.
Yeah.
So, but I don't want that. I think Ridley, and I said this all along, Paul, I think they're better like that because now you're in your traditional set with Ridley. Oh, you guys are spreading out and Ridley's out wide. I think you're more difficult to defend philosophically. And yet they don't seem willing to say Ridley is good enough to be a third down back.
So it's being conservative. Is what you think
it's stuck in their ways, if you want to say. I think they're stuck in their Woodhead way.
I'm going to take Andy's Edelman thing, you know, the exaggeration, like, well, if he got hurt, you know, I'm done with him, okay? If Ridley's not up to speed enough a year plus a month into his career to be able to, you know, obviously we know physically he can do that, right? It's not a physical thing. It has to be an experience thing. Well, if he's not ready to do that, then why is he here? You know, why did you continue to run Danny Woodhead for less than 3 yards a carry against light fronts and just continue to pound your head against the wall with a back that's half the size of this other guy who, by the way, is even though he's so much bigger than Woodhead, is twice as dynamic as Woodhead.
Right.
It's also interesting that it's Josh McDaniels.
Sense.
I could see Bill O'Brien say, you know, this is my guy. He made some big plays for me 2 years ago. He was good last. But you had a change kind of at the head of your offense, and McDaniels doesn't have any loyalty or experience with Woodhead other than what he's seen on tape when he obviously, you know, broke things down. So I think it's weird. I'm not necessarily angry as Paul is.
No,
but
I'm exaggerating to make the point. I mean, I don't think that you legitimately want to just cut Julian Edelman if he's got a bad thumb.
No. He can still return punts.
Okay.
But I don't want him getting broken when he's playing receiver.
But I think that you've made yourself predictable again. Okay, Woodhead's on the field. That means they're going to be in the spread and the shotgun, and they might pop him for a draw. We have to be aware of the inside handoffs. Okay, Ridley's on the field. Here comes the multiple tight ends. Here comes the power football. We got to have our base defense out here. Why? You don't have to do that.
Right.
You don't have to. And look at Woodhead's production. I mean, Ridley's production. It was his worst game of the year.
Right.
Because he ran every time in situations where they knew he was running.
I do like his little, when he celebrates, his ninja, whatever thing after the touchdown. That actually
Woodhead?
I enjoy. Yeah.
I like Woodhead. I just like him in small doses. I don't want 15 carries for him.
Everything he does.
Five or six is fine. Couple of catches out of the backfield.
This is unprecedented. This stacked up phone lines.
It's a little odd. Not
the
phones,
but
the usage. Yeah.
When you get.
Well, it's not odd. It's what they do, but.
But it used to be what they did with Kevin Falk.
And then it became
what
they did with
Woodhead last year. Yeah.
They're stuck in their ways.
But 15 carries for Woodhead when he's averaging 2.3.
Now, is this going to be Shane Vereen when Shane Vereen is someday healthy?
As I said, Shane Vereen has taken a right onto Taylor Price way, and he's three houses down. I'm getting very worried about Shane Vereen's career in New England.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jeff in Vegas is going to tell us how much money
he lost. Because he took
night.
The under and he took
the Ravens.
So he lost both ways.
Yep.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Better than you.
Are you hiding in a phone booth because there's people after you trying to collect?
Or a bathroom somewhere.
Well, my son's Providence College college fund took a little hit on Sunday. I was able, fortunately, I did say, quote, New England would play well but come up short. So I put a little something just on the Raven money line to protect what happened. But, yes, it goes as an 0-2. I had Baltimore and the under loss on both counts.
So no lunch this week, huh?
That is correct. And Fred is absolutely right. The Buffalo Bills next Sunday will be the recipient of a very bad beating, and Tom Brady was in complete control Sunday night. That's the impression I got. I mean, they gave the game away, but Tom looked great.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I thought he looked really good. And if he looks that good against the Ravens, against the Bills, then Fred is well on his way to the ass whooping. That could be one of those, you know, six touchdown passes for Brady.
Right.
Yes, maybe six in the first half. Now to my question of the day is, why can this team not finish anymore? They lose the same way every time. The offense can't run it out with a four-minute offense, and then the defense, with the exception of last week against Arizona, cannot make a play to save its life at the end of the game while the other team is driving.
Yeah, I think that it's a good question, Jeff, and even Brady brought it up. And I think there was a stat today that the Patriots are eight and nine in their last 17 games in which they've lost by four or less points or something like that.
I hadn't seen that stat. That is an interesting
something
stat.
Like that.
They used to win every close one.
Yeah, so it isn't, and I think again it comes down to the running. You know,
well, it comes down to. The running is part of it, but I think it comes down to the defense. Now, you're back this week, and I know people were feeling good about the defense, but we said the real test is when you have an actual offense to defend, and they did not meet that challenge.
Yeah. Well, we haven't really gotten to that a lot. I mean, early they looked good. They were getting some three and outs. Later in the game, there was a fourth and short that Harbaugh decided to go for. They stopped that. They made a big stop. But it just seemed like that every time Flacco threw the ball up for grabs on the sideline, they had a better chance at getting it.
He had guys open all day, and he just dropped back in rhythm, throw deep, drop. The only one that was terrible was that lob on the second to last
where
drive. Arrington, had he not fallen, would have picked off the
ball. Well, and having said that, McCourty did have two balls in his hands. He did. And, you know.
Yes, which is at least three over a couple weeks.
The guys he was covering had about 15 in their hands.
But I'm just
That's
saying.
That's the difference. He had four passes.
Those interceptions stopped drives. And everything that occurs after that would have occurred.
The problem with him is, not only is he not good, because he still is not good. He's still.
Well,
the
I
guy
don't think
left.
He was as bad last night as he was last year.
He was okay. I thought he was terrible, but even that, you know, I've given up on he's going to be a Pro Bowl corner that rookie year. But even if you want to become like Otis Smith and you give up plays, but then you make some. But he's not making them. He's had the chance to make plays, and he's dropping them.
Yep.
So now
you're
just and he's taking a beating in SPF. People want him benched. They want him off the field. And I don't think that there really aren't that many options for them to turn to. He's their defensive captain. He's their number one pick, and he's their starting corner. And I'm sorry he stinks, but
it's pretty clear that they want to,
they think he's good.
They want Arrington to be the slot guy.
Right.
And they can't get him out of the starting position because he's just better than the other guys.
Dowling
He's
better is
than Moore in Dowling. So you have to magnify that with McCourty. If they had another option, I think they would have explored it. At this point, this is what's going on. I agree with you. There's been a lot of defense of McCourty the last because he had four passes defensed. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you make plays. I mean, you're not gonna just get torched on every single play, but for the most part. They picked on him.
Well, and that's what I was just going to say. They don't seem to be shy about going after him.
And especially when Baltimore did it. And, you know, what was the average per attempt for – and I'm not talking about the strict number. I'm talking about how many times did Joe Flacco throw the ball 25 yards down the field?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
10?
Right.
12?
Well, that's their new offense. They like to take those shots.
Well, they always take shots, but they took them at McCourty every time, is my point.
I know.
So certainly sometimes,
a couple at Arrington.
Sometimes he's going to be there to make a play, but when they needed a play, They went for 32.
Chris for, with the TINs on the line. Hey, Christian.
Well, I got to tell you, this is maddening. You know, I don't know what to freak out about first, the referees or the defense?
Referees.
I mean, yeah, okay.
The referees will make you feel better.
Yeah,
at least there's an answer to the referees. Just bring the regular ones back. Defensively, there's not really answers, so you might want to leave that one to the side.
That's why
for a
I said
while.
The referees will make you feel better.
Yeah, I guess. I actually posted the video on the Facebook page in PFW Progress. It's still up as far as I know if you want to have Kevin check it. You can see it. It's not good.
What video?
What? See what?
It's the video from the end zone showing the final kick and showing that the field goal is no good. A friend of mine sent me the link this morning. It was actually a Ravens fan, and I put it up in that forum.
And Kevin, when you get that, let me know. I want to watch it.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to see it. But
it's almost like when they bring these refs back, the league's going to have to say these first 3 weeks didn't count. I mean, because, you know.
No, they count. You made sure they counted.
Yeah.
I'm really, you know, it's maddening to a point with this team because, you know, last week I blame that on the offense. You know, we scored 6 points the first half. The defense played good enough to win. Yeah. This week you scored 30 on the road. And you got leads at 13 and 9, and you can't hold them.
Yeah, you're like a baseball team that can't get the hitting and the pitching in the same game.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When my putting works, I can't drive, and when I drive, I can't putt.
You're just not measuring up. I mean, I don't think, honestly, they played a good defense against the Cardinals, and that defense owned the line of scrimmage and gave your offense a lot of problems.
Yep.
And they played a bad offense that day, and the defense was fine. Well, then when they played a good offense, the defense wasn't good enough.
The one thing I can say,
what was the guy's name that we talked to this week from Baltimore? I mean, we played a bad defense. I mean, he just shredded.
Yeah, Baltimore's that's not a great Ravens defense.
But the one thing I'll say though about the Patriots defense is that when they, you know, stopping the run, I think the Patriots did not do a good job stopping the run against Ray Rice and the Ravens, but I know they can do better than they did. I know that team can do better stopping the run than they did that night. So I take a little bit of comfort in knowing that run defense did not play as good as it can against the Ravens.
That's like the least of my concerns. I know they will.
Well, you stop the run, and you know it does change a little bit because they were running well.
Fred, I think you're right. I think when you have one thing to stop, they've proven they can stop it. When they have two things to stop, they can't stop either.
Right.
That's a concern. That goes back to last year.
Yeah.
That's a concern for me. When you have a team that has some semblance of balance, they don't stop either.
So,
I mean, and McCourty, so it was rookie year and then 2011 and now. So am I supposed to believe that all of a sudden this kid just can't turn his hips?
No, here's what I think about.
Ball?
Here's what I think that we overrated his rookie year. I think that, you know.
But that's true. But that's not the argument. He was a first-round pick. He was going to be a first-round pick by some team. He was a good player in college who NFL talent evaluators said.
Oh, I don't know
this
if
is
he would have been a first-round pick by
the Jets
some
were going to take him.
The Jets were going to take him.
Said they were going to take him.
The Jets.
No.
He was in my top 20. He was a first-round pick.
So that makes him a first-round pick.
Yes, it does, because you know what? I don't make my own assessments. I do a lot of
he was targeted to be.
You talk
to a lot of GMs?
No, Fred. See, now you're just being ridiculous. If you're going to try to argue that
I'm being ridiculous.
Devin McCourty was not going to be a first-round pick.
We're the
if
only
you
want to
live in your little
ridiculous.
Fantasy
right.
world,
right.
that's fine. But
let's
he was a first-round pick.
Let's get that straight. We're the only ones allowed to be ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that his rookie year, I think he was, you know, benefited from, you know, not being known, you know, and I think he played really well, but Pro Bowl probably was, you know, probably something he shouldn't have earned his first year.
Oh, he absolutely earned a Pro Bowl the first year. Now, I will say this, Fred.
I'm not sure.
I will say this about his rookie year, and with now a year plus three games to go on, you know, on the other side, I felt at times his rookie year, he got beat and got away with it because of bad throws.
Right.
And I think that he's not getting away with it as often this year. And when he has had a bad throw or an opportunity, as Andy pointed out a little earlier, he hasn't made the play. He's dropped a couple of interceptions. Andy was actually teasing him about it last week.
I know.
I won't be teasing him anymore. Right? No.
That's at least three balls this year that he's dropped that could have been picks.
Yeah, I thought one of them on Sunday that he's being credited with a drop for. It was a good play by Torrey Smith, who blew it up. He's getting killed for that. For the one that he dropped, not only he dropped it, he almost served it up for a big play. he like fell to the ground and rolled up and the ball popped in the air and there was a receiver right there. He's lucky it didn't end up getting caught.
Freddie,
that was a flat out drop.
I always let these things slide, but now I know why I get along so well with Mark and Cheddar, because he tweets out quote MDNA, the Patriots are 8-9 in recent games they lost by 4. That is how you said it. And I was going to say, how'd they win 8 games they lost by 4 points?
Good point.
But you've been yelling at so much, I didn't want to nitpick today.
Decided by four points.
Yeah. I knew that too, and I didn't want to say anything.
Right. He's in such a mood, I didn't want to call him on it.
I didn't even catch it. So
decided by four points.
I knew you meant the close ones. I didn't even hear you say games they lost.
All right, Christian.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that would be in line with Patriots fans. They have 8 wins in the games that they lost.
That's true. Ben is in Salt Lake City. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, it's Ben, but that's all good. I just wanted to comment on the field goal. I watched that. It's really hard to tell whether it went wide right. Or
Andy and I just watched it, the one that Christian told us about, and I have no better feeling now.
Still at an angle.
Sunday night after the game, I could not possibly put my hand on a Bible and tell you if that was good or not.
Right.
And even if you get a dead-on end zone one right on the upright, you still don't know for sure because you don't know where it crosses.
Where it crosses. You need that, like you said,
you need the guy standing right under it to look up.
You need the XY axis.
Yeah, they should really have a camera on that. I also wanted to comment on you guys were talking about the play calling earlier, and I totally agree. You can't have Woodhead out there all the time because they know that we're going to pass, and if we run, he can't do anything anyway. You got to put Ridley in those situations. I got to think he could get 5 or 6 yards where Ridley's getting, 2 or 3.
I think it's time.
At least let him fail.
I think
let him drop a ball. Let him miss a pass protection.
I think it's time.
Ridiculous. I mean, he's a 5'11", 220-pound back. You'd think he could knock somebody's block off every once in a while if he had to.
Plus, Fred, you've watched. I mean, are you worried about his pass catching? I mean, are you worried about anything he'd have to do in that role?
Well, he did blow one pass, a little swing pass that he dropped.
So does everybody.
Yeah, I know.
I've seen Kevin Falk drop passes. Look, everybody drops a pass.
I'm just saying that my only conclusion
was
that
he dropped that, by the way.
Yeah, he probably would have lost yards.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, I think he may have lost the ball, and it would have been a fumble because they were two heat-seeking missiles.
But it's not for him to decide whether or not to catch it or not.
I'm not saying he did, but you locked out.
I'm saying it was a fortuitous drop.
But are you telling me you've never seen Danny Woodhead or Kevin Falk drop a pass?
Oh, sure.
Well, Wes Welker's dropped one in each of the three games.
You say that he looked good in pass protection. That was the only thing I could think of is why they didn't have him in the game, because they wanted the option of going to pass. And if that's the case, they wanted Woodhead in the backfield with Brady. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, just
I don't either, but that's,
I know you don't.
Yeah. So.
The other thing is, how many catches did Gronkowski have? 2, 3, 4?
Two.
He didn't have that many. Like, what happened to him?
He was used as a blocker for a lot of the night.
I also heard that they blanketed him, which, if that's the case, then somebody else had to be open. Which,
and they were.
You know, Lloyd was open last year. But I think they got hurt at the end. Edelman was out. Lloyd was banged up, and I think that really did hurt him on that last drive.
I was going to say, I'm assuming we're just kind of talking about the end, because the offense did its job.
Yeah,
the offense
Bridge
put up
came
points.
In and replaced
yeah,
the
just
no
the
problem.
End. Just the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then if you get to the end and you say, oh, now they're just forcing it to Gronk, it's at the end of crunch time, why are we forcing it to Gronk?
But, people are also wondering, why can't they close these games out? Offensively, injuries did play a part in this game, they couldn't close it out.
I'm really by that. I think Branch came in and was Edelman, and there was no problem.
Oh, Branch, I mean, come
on.
Yeah,
2 catches for first downs.
I know.
How many was Edelman going to have?
With 0 yards after catch.
You didn't need
yards. Blown up both times.
But you didn't need yards on either one of them. You needed first downs, and he got them. Yeah.
And,
got
I thought he made a great catch on that leaping one where Brady was a terrible throw.
Yeah.
And he threw for like a 6'5
Brady
receiver.
Brady hung him out.
Yes.
He hung him out.
And that was the play after he had hung out Welker.
Yeah.
And he actually apologized on the field to Welker.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben, for the
call. Can I stop the calls for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
The NFL just put out a statement fully supporting the call from last night. I didn't read the whole thing, but it was really fast.
Technically, they said it was right. Well, look, what they're saying, and I heard this.
That it is, by the way, we were right to question some of the media reports. Remember, the three of us this morning were talking about this just to let the listeners know. There was a lot of media people saying that you can't review simultaneous possession. That's untrue. In the end zone, you can. In the field of play, you can't.
Uh-huh.
But in the end zone, you're allowed to review that. The NFL says that was reviewed for simultaneous possession, and this is they came up. They said this was the right call.
You know,
NFL is saying this is the right call.
They're saying that, you know, the catch isn't made until the guy goes to the ground. So while he's in the air, it's still not a catch. And by the time he came to the ground, both players had their arms around the ball. I don't think that that's the case. I think that the Green Bay guy still had his arms wrapped around the ball, and the Seahawks guy was just kind of reaching in, right?
I thought the Seahawks guy, Golden Tate, had one hand on the ball. At maximum during the whole time.
You know,
that, to me, is not dual possession.
So, I don't know.
But like I said, even though I disagree with it, I can see an argument to be made. I just disagree with it.
I just fall back on my old tuck rule. I look at that play. Who do I think caught the ball? I think the Packers guy caught the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know what your other rules are of joint possession and dual this. If I was on my backyard field refing a game, who would I give it to? The Green Bay guy.
All right.
Patriots, Fred, tweeting out your tremendous Patriots Football Weekly cover.
Who's tweeting it out?
The Patriots official account.
Okay, so that means I'm not in trouble.
This week's, in parentheses, creative Patriots Football Weekly cover.
Yeah.
And for everybody who's listening, are you reffing kidding me? Was Fred Kirsch's idea. Best idea he ever had, and I can support it now that I know we're going to maintain employment.
It was tremendous. It just made me nervous.
Let's go to the phones. Nick is in San Diego. Hey, Nick.
He wants to trade Welker.
He wants to trade Welker. I'm Andy Hearn. I have a big head.
Well done, Nick.
What do you got?
All right, thanks, guys. Well, okay. Well, I'm starting to get worried here. I'm really thinking that Ridley is going to be obsolete in this new offense we have here. Hey, Paul.
Well done again. You got your stuff today, Nick. I like it.
Thank you, sir. So anyway, I'm really not worried, you guys. I mean, obviously, we're not going to get a first round bye in the playoffs. I can understand that. I can live with that. But
the brakes. Why not?
Why not? Ravens, Texans.
Yeah. So you're sure?
The
you're
Ravens already
sure.
have a loss. You know,
I'll give you my second NFL rant of the last 30 seconds.
Here we go.
How about the NFL making Baltimore play Sunday night and then on Thursday? Don't just count the Ravens as 15-1. They're going to lose games. That's not, first of all, that defense was very susceptible in all three of their games that they've played so far. Mm-hmm. They are going to have a hard time even beating Cleveland Thursday night, having to play coming off of that emotional game on a Sunday night. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
They talk about player safety. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it has less to do with the Ravens and the Texans than it does with the Patriots. The Patriots have shown me that they can't finish games. They will blow it if you give them the opportunity. They need to go out there and score two touchdowns more than the other team in order to win the game. It's just, I mean, that's the way it is. Like you said, 8-9 in games decided by 4 points. There's no way we can rely on them to close games like that. I mean, the Cardinals, are you kidding me? The Ravens, last night we had that game put away. Just run out the clock or just stop them on defense.
That's a valid criticism.
But can you imagine that this is now what we're left with? I mean, I just watched the Tom Coughlin thing where Bill Parcells is saying, you know, winning in the clutch, whatever, is about preparation. We have arguably the greatest coach ever in Bill Belichick, who everybody says prepares for every single detail. And you have a guy who was supposedly early in his career the greatest closer of all time in Tom Brady, and now we can't close games.
Yeah, you know what, and I agree, but you know what, I don't want to be the Indianapolis Colts. I'd rather be the New York Giants, okay? I don't mind winning 9 games, barely making it to the playoffs, and then going on a run in the playoffs. If we can do that, I'm fine with that. I don't want to be the Colts.
I'd rather be the Patriots.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like being the Patriots.
Thanks, Nick.
Wish when they win a lot of games, they finish it.
Let's go to Rob in Pennsylvania. Hey, Rob.
Remember when they were the Patriots?
Hey, guys, what's up?
Good.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, I just want to see, everybody's like making such a big deal about McCourty and everything, blowing coverage and stuff, but it doesn't really seem like he's getting too much help over the top with Chung and Gregory like other defenses are. I mean, like, to me, it just doesn't really seem like, you know, I mean, Belichick's like, you know, if he realizes Torrey Smith's going to be on a deep route and they needed that ball and they were going to go for that pass interference,
well,
I wasn't Chung there to put some, you know what I mean, some leverage on.
Look at a lot of the plays that Baltimore called. They did a good job at isolating McCourty by, you know, throwing it to the sidelines so that the safety has a lot of ground to cover, and then they bring that guy over the middle that occupies him. So by the time that, you know, Gregory or Chung gets over there, it's almost too late.
And it's what we get back to when your whole thing from last year, a number one corner. If you have a number one corner that you have to go out of your way to cover his ass, then A, he's not a number one corner, and B, your defense is in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're coming from. And I want to say, I mean, that's pretty much the only question I really have for you guys. But I want to say, I want to see if one of you guys could tweet out that link to that YouTube missed field goal thing.
Yeah, it's extremely inconclusive. It's just like the plays that we saw, the replays that we saw.
It's at an angle, so you gain nothing, really.
It's just from
that's,
behind.
And that's not the one. I don't know if that's the one that I was directed to this morning.
No, I don't. Well, I mean, it could be a different version, but the one I was directed to isn't there anymore.
Right.
The link says this was removed by YouTube or something.
I thought Christian said that's where he got this one, from his friend.
Well, maybe.
No, this is the Christian one, but I don't know that that's the same one that other people
are saying. I thought that's what Christian said. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought Christian said that his friend from Baltimore got this off YouTube and sent it to.
But it made
they put it on Facebook.
Yeah. No, I know all that, but I don't know that this is the conclusive one that I've been getting emails about that I then link to that doesn't work.
I thought that's what Christian
said. Just look up JFK conspiracy and you'll see the field goal films right next to it. Dan and Harriet's on the phone. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
How do you think?
Not good.
Not good. You need some therapy, and Fred Kirsch has been failing in his therapy duties.
I don't know about that.
Unfortunately.
Come on.
It could be better. It leaves something to be desired, Fred, unfortunately.
All right.
Well, how about I tell you this? I guarantee you that the Patriots are going to win the AFC East, and I guarantee you they're going to be one of the top two seeds in the AFC and will have a bye in the postseason.
I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you on that. I mean,
then why are you down?
So why are we all down?
Then why are you down? If you would agree with me on that, why are you down?
I think we all realize that
you lost a losable game.
Right. We shouldn't be down. We should be pissed.
I don't know what we're resorting to when I am the therapist.
I'm going to try to give you what I thought was the good, the bad, and the officiating. Start out good, and it's very little, I think. On offense, I think Brandon Lloyd has proven that he can be a consistent part of this offense and that he can give you those clutch throws when they need them. So I think when they get their offense together, it's going to be looking a lot better. Moving on, bad on offense. It's enough with Danny Woodhead up the middle already. I've absolutely had my fill of that. And to me, it screams of Belichick, whether it's McDaniels, trying to avoid tendencies at all costs. Do you think maybe I've got something there? Because it seems like they're looking, let's throw in this package that could be passing as easily as it could be running, and then we'll just run it up the middle, because they're not going to expect a 5'7", 5'6" guy to run up the middle against that huge line, because it wouldn't work.
Yeah, I think that's what they're built on, is avoiding tendencies and scheming. I think that's what they're built on. I don't think they're built on, this is what we do and we're going to do it, try to stop it. That's not their philosophy. Whether you like it or not, it's been successful for a long time. Now maybe it's not as successful, whatever, but I think that's their whole way of doing things.
Yeah, I think the irony, though, Dan, is that they're trying to avoid a tendency, and they've created a tendency to me that they didn't have to. And we talked about it earlier. I think by having Ridley in the game there, now you're really telling the other team they can run or throw. When Danny Woodhead's in the game, the other team is thinking throw, and they're saying, but please run it. And the Patriots obliged 15 times the other night.
I'd absolutely agree with
you. You know, to me, I don't think that you're – I think you're creating a tendency that you don't need. They know it's going to be a spread formation, and if Woodhead gets it, it's going to be one of those inside handoffs out of the shotgun, and we can stop him. They know that. They don't know that they can stop Ridley. Ridley might be able to run through an arm tackle with a six-man front, and all of a sudden he's got 25 yards. Woodhead's not going to break those tackles.
It's very reminiscent to me of the second half in the Super Bowl after they had finished that drive to go up ahead by what I believe was 2 scores. And then they came out with this heavy package with, what was it, Polite at the fullback position. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know what's happened to, you know, we do what we do until they prove they can stop it. And they don't do that anymore. But a second bad point on the defense. First 2 games of the season, you saw, they lost one of them, but it looks like they're trending in an upward direction. After this game, my only response to that is nope. And they have to prove it to me, re-prove it to me, that they can stop a decent offense with multiple players that you need to stop. And I think it's also a huge indictment on Chris Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've been talking about that. Chris Johnson hasn't run on anyone. I mean, what he had the week, it was four here and then 20 the next week, Paul, against San Diego, I believe.
Right.
I mean, yeah. And roughly. This goes back to last year.
And he had one big game last year. Overtime game the other day.
He had one big game last year that helped him. He had like a 200-yard game that helped him get over 1,000 yards. Otherwise, that would have been, you know, a 700-yard season. And you start doing the math, you divide 16 by 700, that's a bad running back. That's not even, you know, average. That's bad.
What they did to Larry Fitzgerald in week two was far more impressive than what they did in week one. Now, clearly, they decided, we're not going to let Fitzgerald beat us. A lot of teams probably decide that, and still he makes some catches. But the Patriots didn't allow him to get free at all, you know, for whatever reason.
My positive spin is you won't face an offense like this again for another 2 months. So you'll be fine for 2 months. You're going to build some confidence.
Yeah, I mean,
question is it false confidence? And then do you fail again when you need a test?
What about Denver? Do you have any thoughts of them being able to be balanced?
Nope.
You don't think they can be balanced?
They can be balanced, but I'm not afraid of Peyton Manning.
Are you saying
that
more
wasn't
so?
My question.
Are you saying more so than like Arizona or Tennessee? Maybe.
I think that's
Near the league of, say, a Houston or a Baltimore, no.
Okay.
I don't think their receivers are anywhere near as good.
Their receivers,
I don't think their running back is anywhere near as good. And I don't think their quarterback right now is as good.
You're right about that. They don't have the skill position guys.
I think Houston's the only one that is close, which is good, which means you don't face a lot of those, so you'll be fine. But it's bad in that you'll face a lot of those in the postseason. So if my little scenario unfolds, it's another potential game. Now, this is way, I'm being negative, and I admit it, but this is a potential game where you're a two seed, and all of a sudden you're hosting somebody on the first weekend of the playoffs who you can't match up with. You already proved it a couple times during the regular season, so it's good and bad.
Flight attendant Karen writes in.
Hey!
Remember Karen?
Yes.
She says, I wish you could listen today, but I have to go to work. I know it's going to be a great show. To me, football game wins come down to the performance of the players, which team overcomes the penalties. These games are no longer about who is making the plays, who is performing better, who is completing passes, who is running the right routes, who is blocking, who is making catches. It's now about the way the game is called. It doesn't matter how much effort a player gives, it can be negated, and that makes the game difficult to watch. The game isn't won or lost on performance of the players, but the performance of the refs. The competition is eliminated. People are now watching like they're watching a train wreck. I wonder when people will start checking out. I'm finding it almost too frustrating to watch. I can't not watch, but I'm not enjoying watching. If these refs are going to continue, the league needs to make adjustments, change what calls are reviewable, give the coaches more challenges because they know the rules, especially if it's a matter of losing or gaining yardage. This will make the game longer, but at least there will be a chance of getting the calls right. And I heard Andy compare this to replacing the air traffic controllers, and I can't agree more. The big difference is, at the same time, the airlines had to cut back on flights on the amount of departures out of every city, so the load wasn't the same. In other words, there were adjustments made. In football, the league allowed the games to go on as if nothing had changed. No adjustments were made. That's a great point. Miss you guys. Love seeing you on PFW on TV. Great format. It suits you. Really showcases your talent, knowledge, and personalities, and, of course, curse words. That's flight attendant Karen, who used to be on our charter flights back in the day. Now she's off teaching people all kinds of stuff.
I just need to clarify. I'm pretty sure I didn't say the thing about the air traffic controllers. I don't even remember hearing that on this show.
Oh, really?
Well, didn't that happen in like 1981? There's a good chance Andy doesn't know about
And Reagan
that.
Fired them all.
Yeah.
Because they weren't allowed to strike.
I have actually heard that analogy, and I think it's proving to be false a little bit because what Reagan did, and correct me if I'm wrong, Freddie, because you're much more in tune with this stuff than I am, but didn't Reagan basically say, you know, go ahead, you're on strike, screw, we'll replace you.
Right.
And they did.
Right. Right. This is a lockup.
The NFL is trying to do that. That's where the analogy is. It ain't working.
Right. Right.
They're trying to say, we can replace you. You're not good at, you know, you're not irreplaceable.
And I'm
For
guessing.
For 3 weeks, they're proving to be irreplaceable.
I'm guessing they replaced him. They went out and found the best possible candidate and replaced him. These are temporary officials. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but couldn't they get better officials if they said you're now a full-time NFL official? The only reason they get these guys is because they're not offering that up.
Right.
What if they went to the
college
ranks?
Well, I think they could be sued if they did that. You can't just...
Well, it's too late now, but if they had gone in the summer and said to the guys in the SEC and
Oh, yeah, they can't.
Whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lockout. You're right. Sorry.
It's a lockout.
It's just like the players thing. They couldn't have had scab games.
Right.
Yeah, you can't lock somebody out and replace them.
Right.
They have people that want to work under their agreement.
Well, I suppose.
Phil from Nova Scotia says, I'm getting sick of people saying the poor officiating is not the replacement official's fault because they've been put in a tough position. They were not put anywhere. They were not forcefully drafted into the position. They volunteered to do the job. And if they can't do the job properly, they should not be doing it at all. It's not like officiating NFL games is an essential service like public transportation or civil servants that keep the benefits flowing to injured veterans. I would like to know the motivation of these replacement officials. Is it the money, excitement, experience? What motivates a person to take a position that they cannot perform at an acceptable level? My pride wouldn't allow me to do it if I couldn't do it well. Would you guys do it? I understand all teams are in the same position. It's not about that. It's about what is happening to the game I love. Will the ratings suffer? No. I'll keep watching. Beyond money, is there any room in the NFL for just doing what is right?
Is there any way, in a strange irony, that the ratings actually go up because you get some, like, newsy people that aren't really NFL fans that know
what's
this is
all about?
Yeah, what's this? And all of a sudden, ratings are up like 5%.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that they're going to tell us that.
Probably. Because I told you guys, and I retweeted it, our friend Mish from Sweden tweeted me a picture of her newspaper that the front page story was the NFL officiating, even more so than here, with a little Packer guy saying, I got effed by the NFL refs.
And it didn't say EFF.
It didn't say effed. It didn't say reffing.
Right.
They would have gone with, are you effing kidding me, right, with the full word? But it's now like a global story. It's, you know, I Drudge Report had it as its top story. It's now a news story beyond sports. And I wonder if some weird twist, the ratings might go up to see this train wreck. To some people that aren't football fans just want to see the news story.
And, you know, Jeff didn't mention it, Jeff in Vegas, when he called him, but I read, I think Darren Revelle.
Yeah, like 150 million or something?
Changed hands
on
because
that play
of last night's game.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
A, it's ridiculous that it got screwed up and that happened, but B, it's ridiculous that there's that much money on just a random game.
But knowing that, doesn't that give leverage to the referees to say, look, you want us to be immune from these outside influences? You got to make it worth our while. And what leverage, and we talked about this earlier, what leverage does the league really have? All these guys have jobs. It's not like they're out of work looking for food. They have jobs.
The leverage is God complex. I am God. I will squash you.
Right.
That's what they think. They're the NFL.
Right.
I'm Roger Goodell. I will.
Fine. I'll go back to my insurance job where I'm making six figures, or I'll go back to my law firm where I'm making $500,000 a year.
I agree
with
you.
There's no leverage here.
I agree with you. They need to cave. My opinion is the NFL needs to cave and get the officials in here.
I agree with all that, but I don't think Vegas comes into play.
You never do, but it does, Paul.
No, but I don't think Roger Goodell, I don't think he cares that $150 million changed hands last night in Vegas on a game.
Let me tell you something. They will never say it, but gambling is always on their mind.
No,
why?
Because it's a big part of football.
But that's the same thing. That's not what I said.
If the gambling got screwed up last night.
Oh, they don't care about that.
Okay.
But they do care about players, coaches, referees being influenced.
Well, that's
if you want to make the argument that these guys are more susceptible to the outside influences because they make less money, that's a different argument than they have to do something. $150 million changed hands last night.
Yeah,
Roger Goodell doesn't give
two
bleeps.
They don't care about
that. One team got one side got the $150 and or the other.
Yeah.
That was going to change hands either way.
No, I hear that.
My point was
they don't. It's not like they get a percentage of that money.
No.
It's not like if gamblers stop gambling because they don't feel the games are going to go on the right way, Vegas loses.
But Roger Goodell
doesn't.
With all the craziness, it's much easier now to cover up a terrible call.
I disagree. Because
really?
I think there's so many terrible calls that these games aren't fixable. They aren't fixable.
Well, and everything is
it's not like
microscope.
It's straight and narrow, straight and narrow, straight and narrow. Okay, here's where I make the call that changes this game. There are a million calls that are changing games.
But I'm telling you.
They're so bad, they are incorruptible.
All these bookies are looking for is an edge. They're not looking for the definitive.
I think they've lost all edge because it's chaos.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give you, like, last night's call, for example. If that guy was on the take, that was a very bizarre and dangerous way to enact your fix. I'm going to wait for the last play of the game, and I'm going to assume that the ball's going to actually end up in someone's arms and not on the ground.
Well, you don't plan
to put
it
the
that
fix
way,
in.
But when you see the opportunity, you take.
But there's no way that play was fixed. Is my point?
Oh no,
I think there's no way any of these games are fixed.
Well.
I'd like to think that, but I can't say that anymore.
Right.
See, I can. I think there was a far better chance to fix games with real officials than there is now.
I never say never. I remember being in the Patriots press box, the old press box, and talking about fixing games, and somebody who I won't mention in the media says, there's no fixing in games. And a week later, BC got nailed for fixing games. So I never say never.
Getting back to the question in that email, A, I would do it because my assumption is I would think I could do the job. And I think these, if I'm a high school or college official doing Division III, I think I'm probably thinking I'm a pretty good official. And this is an opportunity to double, triple, quadruple, tenfold my money. And I'll be good enough.
Right.
I'll coach myself up. And if I make a mistake,
it's
I won't make
football.
It.
Still football.
Yeah.
I know the rules.
So I don't think any of these guys are, you know, took this saying, there's no way in hell I can
do
this job.
It's the speed of the game.
Right.
Yep.
I couldn't agree more with Andy. If I was an official, if I did it, if I reffed high school games or Division III games, I'd do it. Long as I didn't. We all know.
Now, can they back out? Yeah, I'm not very good at this.
We all know that.
I'm going to go home now.
I would like to think they signed some sort of contract that they have to stay until there's a resolution.
Well, wasn't it originally they announced they had them through week five that they said or something? I thought week five was some sort of a thing that they had agreed
now,
to.
Now, we know a guy that does referee. A guy used to be involved in our TV show. It works at Comcast. He refs the division, the lower levels, 1AA. Division II, stuff like
Which
that.
Which is where these guys are coming from.
No, they're coming from a lot lower than
that. Oh, really?
He's under a mandate, basically. He couldn't have left, or he wouldn't have been guaranteed his job was going to be there when he came back.
Now, would he have gone if he could?
I don't know, but this is I haven't spoken to him specifically, but I've spoken third party with some of our other Comcast friends, and that's what they said, that he was just like the guys in the SEC and the Big Ten, that they weren't guaranteed their jobs. That's why they didn't go. If I reffed even at that level, I'm with Andy. I would say it's a chance of
They're
a lifetime.
Like 6,000 a game or something like
to me,
that?
That to me is how could
guessing
you
guessing that's a lot more than their teaching salaries.
You know, so you do 5 weeks,
if you wanted to be
30 grand.
But if you wanted to be a referee, let's just say that's what you let's say you're 28 years old, 29 years old, and you want to be a referee, and you've been refereeing at the college level for 5 years.
Right.
And this opportunity comes along, don't you look at that and say, I could never live with myself if I said no.
And I'll bet
that could have been my chance.
As bad as they've been, I'll bet you there has been some guys that are pretty good that the league probably said, you know what?
And don't
we'll
you
keep him?
And Fred, don't you think you'd be the guy that was good to paraphrase Andy?
I'd want to give myself a shot.
Right.
Yeah. I don't
fault them at all.
I would really do it.
I don't know how you could.
I mean, I'd never reffed a game in my life other than like intramurals in college. But
I heard you sucked at that.
Oh, I was awful.
Oh, I reffed intramural basketball, and it was the most ridiculous experience of my life. I mean, you know how you played intramurals. You come out, you drink before. These guys came out, and they were like just ridiculous. You know, you're trying to keep order in the game.
Now you know how these guys feel.
Exactly.
The difference between Fred and I is not that many years, but it's like a lifetime difference. Like, dude, they came out drinking before. Do you know how much trouble we would have gotten into if we were, like, drunk in an intramural event?
Really? This
oh, my
in Florida.
God.
Yeah, they were drunk.
There were hoes around the corners with pimps.
And believe me, it probably wasn't just alcohol. Yeah.
What else were they drinking?
No, they probably weren't just drinking.
Oh, drugs. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was tough. Reffing intramural basketball.
Now multiply that by a billion. That's what these guys are doing.
I did it for a work study. My assistant baseball coach got me hooked up with a cushy work study thing that I was able to referee a lot of games, and I made some good money. I did basically every sport. I did floor hockey, basketball, soft. The only thing I could do was softball because it was the sport that I knew the best, obviously. But I was the worst basketball referee you've ever seen. Tim Donaghy would laugh. I mean, guys would like drive baseline and dribble right on the baseline, and I wouldn't blow my whistle.
Right.
Like I was just not fast enough to blow. I would see it, and then too much time would gone by until I reacted.
And I'll bet you, if you did it more, you'd get better.
Of course you would.
You know,
but if I did it, I certainly would be like exactly the way Andy said.
Yeah.
I would think I'm going to be good at it, and this is my chance. This is a chance of a lifetime. That's like if someone came to me and said, we're gonna give you your own television show. Yeah, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm not sure I'm qualified to have my own television show, but I'm gonna take it, and I'm gonna try to, and I think I'll get better at it, and I'll do it. Why wouldn't I?
Sure. Or they just came to us right now and said, we need you guys to fill in on The View tomorrow. You're gonna go on NBC, and we're like, well, that's what we do. We talk. We just talk about topics, and we would be a total train wreck.
Or PTI.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, F. Ed Reed. Okay, I'm done being respectful to him.
What'd he do?
He's a headhunter. He's just as cheap as anybody else.
He does have some fines coming out of his pocket this week.
F. Ed Reed. Pete in Brisbane writes in, good day, guys, and Eric, when he comes by. Are the media bound by some rule that prevents them overtly criticizing these replacement officials? Apparently not anymore. Some of the calls made on Sunday were nothing short of ridiculous. The most glaring, in my opinion, was the holding call against McCourty on Jones in the Ravens' last drive. Surely there wasn't a hold there, or am I completely mistaken? I appreciate that they've made a step up from lower leagues, but surely there's a need for consistency and good judgment at that level, too. It's infuriating, and it's about the time the league did something about it other than just circulating memos highlighting what they're expecting. It wouldn't surprise me to see fans turning their back on the game if this issue isn't resolved soon. Anyway, guys, thanks for letting me get that off my chest. Keep up the great work. Oh, and while I hate to be pedant, actually, maybe I don't hate it, can you tell Eric that if he's going to use French in his articles, he needs to spell check it? It's avant-garde, not avant-garde. And he spells it the wrong way. Yeah, it's right. If Eric,
I didn't realize that was misspelled, but I don't
if
think,
Eric did
I don't
in fact
think, yeah.
use that,
he
then,
did in a Pulse story. You didn't read it.
Nice job. Then I got it wrong too. Then
no, if we
I don't know French. I assume
I don't
knew
know
it.
French. I just assume when the Prince of Pomposity is injecting another language, I assume that he knows how to spell it. But I will say this, Fred. I don't think it was used properly. I talked to Andy about it after the fact. So. It's not 20/20 hindsight because we got an email.
Wow.
What's avant-garde about the Patriots offense?
Right.
Explain me. I asked Andy to give me the definition of avant-garde. Why is the Patriots offense avant-garde?
I don't know.
Good.
All right.
Good to see we haven't did a good job editing that one.
We haven't taken a break. Did he use? I thought that he used that on the web in his after further review. No?
Nope. Well, he may have.
He might have used it again. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's time for the Fred Kirsch Beat for Men Manscaping Tip of the Week.
Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep. Ah.
Do not put on knob and bollocks. The bollocks I knew and loved are gone now. In their place is a maroon-colored bag of agony, which sends stabs of pain up my body every time it grazes against my thigh or an article of clothing.
Now, here's the always smooth Fred Kirsch.
I immediately regret this decision.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. The league has issued a statement about the game last night, the Seahawks and Packers game. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically they're just saying that it's not a catch until he hits the ground, and at that time they were both fighting for the ball, and, you know, that's just the way it is. Tie goes to the runner. But
first of all, I don't think it was a tie.
Well, yeah. I would have a lot more respect if they had just said, you know, it was a judgment call, and in the judgment of the officials, you know, it was a battle of the possession.
And in the judgment of one of the officials, it was a touchdown. In the judgment of the other official,
yeah,
it was a
touchback. Upon further review, it's certainly it was interception. Just admit that you were wrong.
Well, they don't do that.
They don't. And I know everybody somehow, they claim that that's what they do all the time. The NFL, they're better than everybody. No, they don't.
They say nothing to see here.
But it's so ridiculous because
the ball is in the air,
last paragraph, they say referee Wayne Elliott determined that no indisputable visual evidence existed to overturn the call on the field. And as a result, the on-field ruling of the touchdown stood. The NFL officiating department reviewed the video today and supports the decision not to overturn the on-field ruling following the instant replay review. Then they have applicable rules to the play are as follows. So then they go into like Rule 8, Section 1, Article 3 that defines a catch. Then they go into Rule 8, Section 1, Article 3, Item 5 that talks about simultaneous catch. It was not a simultaneous catch. That's not the definition of a simultaneous. That rule does not apply.
I agree with you.
It does not apply. So get that out of your statement.
What's the rule subset?
He's fighting with a statement. Get that out of your Freddie, statement.
Freddie.
Yeah.
Just, I don't want to alarm you or anything, but that little rant right there was very Paul-like.
Yeah.
Get that out of your statement.
Who's he arguing with?
Not even a who. It's an it. It's a piece of paper.
Well, anyway.
I like it, Freddie.
It's almost good that it happened.
It's great that it happened.
You know.
It's good for Bill Belichick.
Now, as mad as we were in our game, can you imagine if we were the Packers?
Yeah. Well, I kind of liked how McCarthy was just kind of resigned. It's a crazy weekend. I guess we're now part of it or something. Like he almost rolled his eyes. It wasn't even anger. It was beyond anger. It was, this is so joke.
Well, one of our guys saw a high-up NFL official after our game and said, "Ooh, this is going to be tough this week." And the guy goes, "Yeah, this isn't good." And this was a guy
before the scandal of the
week, vice president or higher in the NFL.
Goodell?
No, he wasn't at our game, was he?
No, I don't know. Oh. Just trying to throw people out there. So,
Paul in Yorkshire.
I heard he's vacationioning in Europe.
Paul in Yorkshire.
He's not really
UK,
on vacation, is he?
I don't know.
Says. Did it worry anyone else that with 2:18 on the clock and a fresh set of downs, we weren't able to execute well enough to run out the game clock? It seems that we have moved toward an increased ground game when it mattered on Sunday. McDaniels and or Belichick didn't seem to have faith in the running backs that they could get a first down needed to get the win. Calling the pass play on second down led to a sack that made the third and long an obvious pass play. Is it time to worry about offensive play calling yet, or do you guys still think the offense is transitioning between all-out pass and a more balanced run-pass combination and just needs time to learn this right situational call?
Yeah.
You guys do a great job. Great to have you back three times a week. Any chance you could replace Cold Hard Football Facts with alpaca discussion? Oh, now, come on now.
Wow. Kerry
is great.
They've already jumped ship on Kerry.
The problem is people aren't smart enough to talk with Kerry. They're intimidated by him, you know, because he's got all the facts, and they don't. But, you know, you guys need to do your homework and challenge him.
Wow.
You know, come up with scenarios that disprove what he's trying to say. You know?
You're not talking to me.
He just called other listeners stupid.
Yeah.
Paul.
But
I love you, listeners. I don't think
the listeners
stupid.
Aren't stupid.
But, of course,
fans.
John Rook will be here at 2 o'clock.
Oh, our listeners aren't fans.
He'll have a few things
not
to nitpick.
Not when they're listening.
And then at 4 o'clock, Fantasy Football Champs is here. For
and
this.
They'll delve into how the officiating scandal is affecting fantasy football.
They might, yeah. That's a popular
another
show.
One high on Goodell's
those
list
guys are great to get your fantasy
it affected that, right? It's a touchdown for a
from.
Receiver. That could swing games. I want to know how many games in fantasy football were affected by that.
Yeah, I'm just saying Goodell doesn't care about the fantasy football fallout.
Actually, he does, I think.
He only cares about that.
Actually, I think he cares about fantasy football.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Kevin in Maine.
Do.
Well, Kevin in Maine
can
says...
Can we answer the guy's question about the...
What?
The 2:18 left in the game and the run, you know...
Why they... I think, well... Yeah.
Paul says bring back Bill O'Brien. That's his answer.
No, stop it. first of all, it was the topic of Andy and I's Take Tuesday today. Was that last offensive possession. I do not fall into the category of... questioning the play calling, however, to dispel your little myth.
That was last week you questioned them.
Yes. They ran the ball six times in the fourth quarter for you know how many yards, Fred?
Six.
Three.
Oh. How many times did Ridley run it in the fourth quarter?
Six carries for 3 yards. Five. They ran the ball on that first down play with 2:18 left. They ran the ball with Ridley. He got a yard. Second and nine. You got to get a first down. Yeah. I think you got to throw.
Yeah.
They did. They got sacked. Worst of all
right.
possibilities. Because now you put yourself in a situation where you're probably not going to be able to get the third down now, barring another penalty, which, you know, to give you another first down. They didn't, obviously. With the two-minute warning coming, there was 2:06 left before the third down play. I got a couple of emails and tweets. How can you not run the ball there to make sure you get to the two-minute warning?
Or take the sack.
That's no, I know, but that's irrelevant. That cost you 1 second. Throwing the ball away cost you 1 second. Because if the two-minute warning had come on that play, the clock was going to stop after the punt anyway on the change
right.
of possession.
But you can force them to use a touchdown by not punting. You can use the whole 40 seconds.
But the clock wouldn't have been running is what I'm telling you.
No, if you run the ball, it does.
There was 2:06 left
right.
on third down in
right.
16 or whatever it was.
Right.
If they had run the ball, it goes from 2:06 to 2 minutes.
No, the clock doesn't stop until you punt.
Fred, listen to me. There was 2:06 left on third down.
Right.
If they had run the ball, the two-minute warning would have happened at 2 minutes. The clock would have stopped. Now it's fourth down, you punt. With the clock stopped, it would have been 2 minutes left coming out of the two-minute warning.
The clock doesn't start on the ready?
No, it's the two-minute warning. The clock stops.
Well,
the two-minute warning stops the clock.
I thought there was a way for the Patriots to force...
One more second off the clock they could have got.
No, but I thought there was a way for them to force them to call a timeout to stop the clock.
Well, they could have called the timeout before the two-minute warning if they wanted to, but it would have been irrelevant.
They wouldn't do that.
There was 2:06 left before the third down play.
So you're saying third down, they run the ball.
It would have been 2 minutes left.
Okay, clock's running. You're saying that they would just stop it at 2 minutes?
Yes. Fred, I'm not saying that. It's the rules. It's a two-minute warning. The clock stops.
I know, but I thought...
Yeah. Andy, stop smirking because this isn't funny.
Well, I'm only half listening, but I'm enjoying the part I'm listening to.
No, so there's like, because, you know, sometimes the clock doesn't start till like 1:56.
Well, no, if the play is ongoing and the whistle doesn't blow.
Right.
Then, like,
it's not like they stop mid-play.
As an example, they punted with 2:01 left. The clock had stopped because of the incomplete pass. So the two-minute warning hadn't occurred yet.
Okay.
So the actual two-minute warning came at 1:55.
Okay.
Because that's when the punt was dead.
Right.
But what I'm saying
is...
They just run the ball, it would have been 2 minutes left instead of 2:01 left.
Right, you're right.
And there would have been 1:54 left instead of 1:55.
Right.
That's the only difference, because the clock would have stopped after the third down play regardless for the two-minute warning. Yeah. And then the clock is going to stop on the change of possession after the punt regardless.
Yep.
So we had a lot of complaints about that. How can they, 3rd and 16, they're not going to get it. Why didn't they just run it and make sure the two-minute warning came? It was, to me, largely irrelevant. It cost you 1 second.
You're right.
Has Pete always had that crooked nose?
Pete who?
Carroll.
Yeah. And
he's got crooked
you should see his fingers
too.
Oh, my God. They're all banged up. They go all different directions.
Nose. Love GT 81.
Let's go to the phones again. Patrick's
English.
In New York. Hey, Patrick.
How you guys doing?
That's Pete.
We're doing okay.
Good. Long-time Patriot fan. A little frustrated. The results are the same. Hopefully I'm not repeating anything anyone else has said, but every single time the Patriots are in a spot where the defense, and I'm putting it mainly on the defense now, where the defense has got to make a stop, come off the field, Super Bowl, this Ravens game, even the last Ravens game, they never can
well,
can
I don't know about it. They did make that fourth and, short stop in the fourth quarter, early fourth quarter.
That wasn't with the game really on the line.
No, but it was in the line because if then the offense had done their job after that, the game would have been over.
Yeah, but I mean,
I know what
on
he's
the
saying.
Defense, and I'll tell you why.
I'm with you. I know what you're saying.
After dropping back 40 times, right?
Hmm?
No sacks, yeah.
No sacks, So this new vaunted pass rush with Ninkovich on the left and Jones on the right, that doesn't seem to be working.
Well, they were holding
so
on
well,
every play.
So.
They were.
And
did
then,
they even hit him?
And then in terms of blitzing, I think the Patriots tend to take this conservative approach towards the end of those games, and they don't blitz, and I think they give the quarterbacks that sense that, they're going to have some time in the pocket. And what does Flacco do? He immediately goes after McCourty. I think we have to now realize who McCourty is. McCourty's a guy that, for whatever reason, he lost his confidence, and in a big spot, he just can't make
play. He doesn't find the ball, and he doesn't react to it. It's unbelievable.
Player.
He's right there. It's not like last
year. Well, sometimes.
He wasn't out of the picture.
I'm missing the unbelievable catches that the guys are making with him right on them. I'm missing those plays.
Sometimes they're just running right by him.
No, but he's missing.
And then he tackles
Jacoby
him.
Jones
he's
was 5 yards
it.
Behind him on that pass interference.
I mean,
well, that one was
on that last
ridiculous.
Play to Jones, Jacoby Jones, whatever the guy's name is, that was just terrible positioning on the part of McCourty. I mean, it seems as if this guy needs to be replaced as a starting quarterback on the Patriots. I don't know if Dowling is good enough to put out there. Why don't we just put the guy out there?
Apparently
see what he
not.
Can do. And if he screws it up, we'll put McCourty back because at least we know how bad he is.
They've tried Dowling. They've given him the shot.
And with McCourty in particular, I don't know you can go down that road, can you? I mean, he's your defensive captain first round. If you bench him and then Dowling sucks, confidence-wise,
now
you may have lost McCourty. Yeah. And I think you may have lost him anyway.
Maybe it'll be the opposite. Sometimes, when you bench
maybe.
A player, if the player is extremely prideful and really has belief in his own abilities, that might be that spark that just wakes him back up. Because I'll tell you the truth, if you asked me to grade the secondary over the last year and a half, the guy who has been the worst back there has been McCourty.
I would probably agree. Because any other player, as you said, wouldn't have been out there that long.
And you know what, Patrick? You're right. Because you think of it in terms of you're like, well, it's because we grade him on a higher curve.
No,
we expect more out of him. But you know what? The other guys have played better than he has.
I stopped. That's why last year I thought Sterling Moore was their best corner
Arrington,
down the stretch.
Arrington played better than McCourty last year. And
At times.
Maybe I didn't want to just say that because I just felt like, well, every time McCourty gets beat, it's magnified because it's McCourty. But I don't think that's the case.
Oh, I think we were pretty open. I mean, he sucked last year, and I thought we said he sucked and just hoped that this year he wouldn't suck, but he still sucks.
He's really been doing bad. So maybe the thing is, okay, so if Dowling isn't the guy, why don't we put Sterling Moore back in? I'll tell you, maybe it was Andy Hart or whoever that just mentioned Sterling Moore. The reason I would put him out there, Ben, instead of Dowling, is Sterling Moore, one thing we know about him, he's going to make a play. Eventually, you keep messing around. He's like an Everson Walsh kind of a DB. He's the kind of a guy who's going to give something up, but then he's going to catch the ball, intercept
it, Otis Smith,
or do something. McCourty, Flacco needed those yards, and he went right after McCourty. Doesn't that tell you where the other teams, how they view the Patriots secondary?
Well, yeah, I think that was where the one-on-one coverage was.
I think they'd go right after Sterling Moore. I thought Sterling Moore had a bad summer. I joked with Paul all summer. Apparently this guy needs the pressure of, like, the postseason and down the stretch to make plays because he was terrible. He doesn't deserve to be out there based on what I've seen.
I hear Patrick's pain. I mean, he's hurting over there.
I like his voice.
He wants...
How's it like a dead New Yorker to become a huge Pats fan? I like Pats fan.
But you know, McCourty had a bad game, but it wasn't all bad.
This game?
This game. He had some plays.
Yeah, this
I haven't given up totally on him.
How much rope does he get?
Anthony in Naples is on the line. Hey, Anthony.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Anthony.
How you doing? I had my pool closed today. Sad day.
Thanks for thinking of me.
I was supposed to make that call this morning.
Yeah, so first and foremost, I got an adapter, you know, the push-to-TV adapter, so I could watch the PFW little show that you guys have there.
Little?
You know,
extravaganza.
The extravaganza, the little show there that you got. And
how's your little pool business doing?
It's good. I don't mean it as an insult.
Well, it sounds like one, and we took it as one.
You're way too sensitive. How's that sound?
I am, I know.
So anyways, I was going to compliment Fred, but I don't want him to get to his head because I noticed that Fred lost a little bit of weight.
No, seriously.
I'm not being funny. I'm like, I noticed you lost a little bit of weight, Fred, but don't stop because you're not finished.
I hear you.
Okay.
Okay. I'm working on it.
He hasn't lost any weight.
Yeah. No, but apparently the weight went to Paul. But, so... All right, guys. Let me take you on a little trip.
Because he's fat.
Yeah, because he's fat. Let me take you on a little trip. As in, what happened Sunday night after the loss? Sunday night after the loss, I was like, you know what? This is okay. I'm not gonna get upset. Whatever. It's 1-2. It's not a disaster. You know, the offense did pretty well. You know, against that defense, and I'm not gonna. Whatever. 31-30. I end up, you know, going to sleep. I sleep fine. Wake up in the morning. Headed to work. And then it hit me. I tried not to get mad. And then I started ranting and raving in the truck by myself like a freaking lunatic. I could not believe. Like, I don't know what happened. I think I was just holding it all in. And I was trying not to get mad because it was just, it wasn't worth it. But I can't help it. It makes me so freaking angry that it was really the tale of two defenses. Okay? One defense really couldn't stop Tom Brady. Okay, and the other defense did fairly well, but not great. Okay, they did great. They did all right in the beginning, and then it started losing it. And now, whatever, I'm not going to be one of those to blame it on the refs. Okay, because everybody wants to say, oh, bad calls, and I'll give you that. There was a couple of third downs where the refs influenced that. But what I want to say is that basically the last two drives for the defensive side, all right, what did the Ravens do? They said all day we couldn't get to Tom Brady, and they just sold out. They said, F it. You know what? If we're going to lose, we're going to lose on our terms, and we're going to blitz the crap out of him and see what happens. And you know what? It ended up working out for them. And I can't even believe that the man, apparently, that's the defensive coordinator on that side, is the same Dean Pease that we talked about that said he was soft, okay, and he wasn't aggressive enough. So let me ask you, is it Dean Pease? Or was it Bill Belichick back then? Because now I'm starting to think it's Bill Belichick.
It's always been Bill Belichick, and it's why anytime anyone criticizes the offense coordinator, the defense, it's Bill Belichick. Good or bad, it's Bill Belichick. He has total control.
And I agree with you, Andy. I never said that. I don't disagree with that. Okay? But, you know, before we kind of pointed fingers and we said, oh, maybe it'll be a little bit better defense, you know, because Dean Pease really didn't like the way he was. And you know what? We're proven wrong on that. Or some of the people that thought in that manner. Because it's absolutely absurd. And what really frustrated me with that defense, as in the Patriots defense last night, last drive, all they need is a field goal to win. That's all they need to win the damn game. You need to sell out. okay? The whole game, for some reason, listen, Jones was on that defensive right side or the offensive left side, and was I wouldn't say getting handled by Orr, but Orr did a great job against him. Why would you not take your best pass rusher and move him around and put him on the other side, see what he does? No, instead, it's like hitting a brick wall. Nah, let's keep it going with the one-on-one matchup. It makes no sense.
I saw later in the game they took Ninkovich out and they put in Trevor Scott.
Exactly. That's mixing it up. Pick one jack of all trades and put in another one.
Anthony, I'm sorry. He was saying that
Orr was beating up on Jones.
Who's the best pass rusher?
Jones.
So I don't understand what
move him like every other team does.
Move him around.
If he's not having success in one area, try to move him around. Try to do some things different.
Okay.
I agree with his premise. I'm sorry. When you're getting controlled, try something. I don't think this team tries stuff enough.
Exactly.
They're certainly not good enough to line up, like Bill says, 50 cover two, and we're just going to run it.
That's what they want to do.
I didn't understand.
They've got that base defense now, and they want to stay in it as much as they can. They're not mixing and matching as much as
they can. Oh, no. They've cut their bench and their personnel down to like a 13-man rotation.
And I like that. I like that, and I'm willing to go through some growing pains.
If they can do it.
No, I understand that, but I know the guys that aren't playing can't. I saw that last year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You mean to tell me, Paul, you can't put Jones on the left side?
No. I didn't understand what you were saying. I thought you were saying instead of Jones, put your best pass rusher on Orr. I didn't understand you were saying
move your best pass rusher on Jones.
That's why I didn't get it. I'm with you. Andy straightened it out for me.
It's a numbers thing. It's football 101. I'm sorry. You know what?
I just didn't understand. That's all. I misunderstood you. I'm not disagreeing.
I know.
Okay.
It's just like, why don't they do that, Paul? Why didn't they attempt it? I don't understand.
Why are you yelling at me?
It doesn't make sense.
So this was what went on in your truck by yourself the other day?
No, I can't make fun of him for that. I do that all the time.
But it's just a numbers thing. If Jones is getting beat up, not beat up, but just being handled one-on-one, okay, where generally he was, I understand that too. You know what? He was held in a couple of plays. I'll give you that. But flip him over to the other side so the other guy needs help on that side, okay?
Right.
And then it's a numbers game. And then, like, Vince Wilfork gets a double team, and maybe the other two guys make something happen. You know, there was no pressure, nothing.
Yeah.
Where were our middle linebackers? What the hell were they doing?
Flacco had way, way too much time. I remember on the block saying, where's the rush?
I thought Fred made a good point early in the show.
He's stiff in the park, and he just stood there like a statue, blessed Gillespie. And they don't do anything to get him off his pocket?
I'm scared.
I hear you, Anthony.
He's gonna swear.
All right,
I'm scared.
We'll be all right. Remember, we're gonna take it out on the Bills. It's gonna be okay.
Top two seed.
Thanks for the call,
you,
Anthony.
But that's not gonna make me feel a whole lot better.
What were you gonna say, Paul?
No, I thought you made a good point earlier about the.
That's why I wanted.
No,
I figured. I got that.
About the running, the run defense.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't do anything well throughout the night, beyond the first quarter, to allow you to sit there and do some different things. They had to respect everything.
Right.
And what makes it even worse, I think makes the performance even less impressive, is the fact that you dictated the way the game was played from the opening gun.
And
you got a two-score lead immediately.
And sometimes on defense, instead of being ready for everything, you got to spin that dial and try to guess what they're going to do. And, you know, sometimes you lose.
Well, that's generally what they do. But the teams that can do anything kill them.
Well, no, but I'm saying on defense – you know, staying in that base and being prepared for anything is good, okay, if you have players that can win those matchups. But once in a while, you got to take a chance. You got to throw in a blitz. You know, you got to move everybody off the rush and drop everybody into coverage. You got to do those things once in a while just to keep them guessing.
Now, I think they did some of it. I thought Spikes and Mayo both went a couple times, got sent on some blitzes.
I thought it was the linebacker's worst game so far this season, young season. But yeah.
But against their biggest challenge.
Right.
They didn't. We all knew they weren't going to be great. I think even if you thought everything's going to work out, Hightower's good, they're not going to be great. They're not going to go from piss poor to great overnight. And this is a very good offense with a lot of challenges. But I thought they sent Mayo and Spikes a little bit. I thought they ran some games up front. But Ninkovich, to me, like I said to Paul, how come when it seems like when other teams send these twists and stunts, their guy loops around and he seems to like either be unblocked or at least catch a lineman on the edge? Ninkovich loops around And he looked like a dog chasing a car. He was just running back and forth at the line of scrimmage.
They got nothing the other night that was good. Nothing.
Now, on the Jones thing, I want to say maybe like the very first practice, I want to say he might have got a rep at left defensive end. Since then, I haven't seen him there. I've seen him at right defensive end. Ninkovich has played both. They brought guys in, bumps Ninkovich over to right, Jones out. I have not seen Chandler Jones get reps on the left side.
But do you ever see him like running, doing a stunt with Kyle Love or anything like that? You know, an over-under?
I haven't noticed it. I mean, I'm sure they have since they've done it with Ninkovich. I'm guessing they've done it on that end too. But I'm just saying, maybe he can't. Maybe he's one of those, you know how Bill always, you know, there's some guys you can flip-flop sides and they're fine. There's others you flip-flop sides and it's end. They can't do it. Maybe he can only rush from that side. I don't know.
My initial reaction, I actually posed it to Andy this morning, was the possibility of maybe just selling out a little bit, getting a little bit more aggressive, like Anthony said before he became completely enraged. You know, getting a little bit more aggressive and blitzing a little bit more. You know, and Andy pointed out, I think,
right? I don't have the numbers.
They did do some with the linebackers and whatnot. But I thought, you know, to me, the end of the game comparison is not a good one. I think that the desperation blitzing at all costs by Dean Pease at the end of the game is, to me, and I'm not, I don't mean this disrespectfully to Dean because I like Dean a lot, but that's coaching 101. You have to get the ball back. Whether they get 10 yards or 60 is irrelevant. Because 10 yards just does just as much damage. He had to stop them on that drive, and he said the only way we're going to do this is if we get him on the ground. And that's what they did. That a lot of teams do that. They sell out and put, you know, 8-9 guys up on the line, and they just send everybody at the quarterback and hope for the best. Right. That's what they did, and they got the best. I don't think that's necessarily brilliant coaching, even though I do like Dean.
Let's go back to the phones. It's still stacked up here. And remember, John Rook's going to be here with the playbook at 2 o'clock and then Fantasy Football Champs at 4.
Oh,
with
real quick.
The best fantasy advice on radio.
Anthony's call reminded me. That's why I wanted us to have a voicemail. I wanted that, whatever he did in his truck by himself, I wanted that on voicemail. We need someplace where fans, because we're so global, that to have them call during a little two-hour window is not really realistic. I want the guy in Africa who's freaking out to be able to call some number and leave a voicemail. Can we set that up?
I don't know. I guess so.
That's Fred talk for no, we're not getting that.
Well,
that would be a good aspect of this show.
I don't want to commit to anything until I talk to...
Committed to the T-shirts. I don't have those yet either.
What if we did something like the radio shows are doing nowadays with the...
app?
The audio app.
98.5 has 10 minutes in heaven or 10 seconds. Not 10 minutes. That would take forever.
Yeah.
Where they leave a message via the app. Can we do that somehow?
Possibly.
And I'm not saying we're going to play all of them, but I guarantee there'll be some entertaining ones in there.
Well, Kevin's busy. He doesn't have time to go through all these voicemails.
He sews together those little 2-foot by 4-foot flags that they use after touchdowns.
Did he sew that?
Did he
do that? That's good.
Used his boxer.
Rex in New York. Hey, Rex, how you doing? You're on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Nice. A-hole. Too bad you're going 2-14 without.
So wait a minute. He waited for like 20 minutes to do that, and it wasn't even a good recording.
I know I could barely. You know, if I didn't know exactly what it was, I wouldn't have known what it was.
Yeah. What an a-hole! I love it.
I mean, I figured it was somebody going to be Rex Ryan.
Well, he didn't want to talk because he'd stick his foot in his mouth.
Oh. Well, he liked that.
Yeah.
But seriously, you can only be so cocky when you know that you're going 6-10.
Really beautiful. Right.
Good point, Paul.
They're done.
Good point. I can't wait to beat their asses into the ground.
Fred, just how loudly did you
this
laugh?
This is not your middle school gym shower, so
how
relax
loudly
a
did
little.
You laugh when learning of Revis's torn ACL?
No, I don't like that.
Oh, stop it.
I don't like that.
You know you celebrated.
Do.
Stop it.
I don't.
You
like
celebrated
that.
All weekend long. Reggie Bush goes down. CJ Spiller goes down. Darrell Revis goes down.
Well, when he first went down, we didn't know, but then when it was confirmed, that's when I celebrated. Frank's in Germany. Hey, Frank.
Hey guys, what's up? What's up? Disappointing weekend again. I don't even know what to say. I want to pick up on the defensive thing and bring in the blitz. I think that especially if you don't have good coverage cornerbacks and good safeties, coverage safeties, then you have to bring the pressure. Because I mean, what do we
Germans
get
know about
four
blitz?
Guys? Do what?
You Nothing. Germans know about the blitz,
Nothing.
Right?
Blitzkrieg.
Well, I do.
You
know,
guys invented the blitz.
About football.
No.
And you know, that's one thing that kind of worries me because I mean, even in the last season, if you look back at the game against the Steelers in the regular season and against the Giants and even against the Cowboys, at times I thought we were playing way too passive on defense. I mean, if we can cover at least one or two guys blitz. You know, make it a five-man, six-man rush. Have five guys in coverage. I mean, that should be enough at least sometimes. I don't like people just like Joe Flacco standing there and choosing where to throw the ball to. I mean, in the long run, you're always going to lose this one because the quarterbacks are just way too good and they're always going to find a spot. So I think that we need a blitz more often. And another thing, I thought the defensive line looked kind of fatigued at times. I don't know. I didn't even recognize Trevor Scott in the game at the end. And I think, I don't know, maybe they need a like sub more often or something. I mean, the pass rush with these four guys just wasn't there.
I think, I agree with that, Frank. Thanks
well,
for
I
calling.
Think they agreed with that because you saw them bring Brace and Forston in.
Yeah.
I think they may have realized they were getting gassed and needed to get a few blow plays.
Held all game.
Oh, shut up.
It's hard.
And by the way, Trevor Scott, not recognized. I mean, the guy hasn't done anything except for one fourth quarter against whatever that was, the Saints in the preseason. I mean, he hasn't done anything. The only guy I hold out hope for, and I said this on SPFW, is Cunningham.
I was just going to say, Cunningham showed up at least one play that I saw.
And he hasn't been out there a lot. He's been that tweener guy.
They need to start using him a little bit more, I think.
And he's a legit option to, because Ninkovich has, SPFW, there are a lot of Ninkovich needs to go, get Ninkovich out. And some people wanted to move Hightower to that spot. Yeah. Well, now you have a hole at linebacker. I think Cunningham is the – I'm not sold that he's going to do the job, but he's at least a
I'm not sure what it takes for you in this, you know, team to earn more playing time, but I just want to see him get it right now.
Well, ask Julian Edelman.
I think he's the one guy that's just physical and fast enough
and big
to make some plays.
I've just fallen in love with his physique this year.
Rudy is in New Jersey. Hey, Rudy.
Rudy.
Hi, guys. I'm really excited to talk to you guys right now. My name is Rudy. I used to live in Massachusetts, in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Now I live in New Jersey.
Okay.
I'm a Patriot fan.
Yeah.
I got just a few questions for you guys.
Rudy, first, before you ask your questions, where are you from originally?
From my heavy accent, eh? I'm from Peru.
Oh, Peru. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Lima.
I hope you understand everything.
Perfect.
Okay. First of all, my first question is, Welker, did he make his point in the last game, being, way better than Edelman? The other one, what's with the offense, all right? Brady, fourth quarter, he's never, I mean, when is the last time that he won a big game in the fourth quarter? Now, the defense is making middle-of-the-pack quarterbacks like Flacco and Eli Manning, you know, being like a comeback player.
Well, I think Eli's proven that he's not just middle-of-the-pack. I mean, he's pretty good. But I get your point. I mean, they still have coverage issues. There's no doubt about it. And part of that is the pass rush. They're not getting pressure on the quarterback. And, you know,
but that's what Frank from Germany was saying. You know, we're not covering with seven, so let's not cover with six, or let's not cover with five. If we're not going to be able to cover them, then let's try to rush them.
And what I like about that is that's sort of like football 101, where we can't expose our secondary by blitzing too much because we don't have, you know, Darrell Revis back there to shut down
expose
somebody.
Yourself.
To me, it's the opposite. You have to help them. You have to do something to help them.
Yeah.
And they really seem to be reluctant to do that.
McCourty's not going to cover anybody. Let's send him on a blitz.
You know, what do we use to, you know, and I understand that the players are the important part, but what do we use to do to free up, like, McGinnis and Harrison coming flying off the edge unblocked? Was it scheme? Or was it just that those players were better at disguising it than we are
probably
now?
Both. But you also were dealing with Richard Seymour.
But that's what we thought now with Mayo. They'd be able to do that type of thing now that he's playing on the outside.
Yeah, but I still don't know that you have the type of talent across the board that
you
once had.
I know you don't have the defense that you had. And I'm not suggesting that. It's not fair. I'm not suggesting that. But how did we seem to get those guys
free
all the time?
They were all good. You had more consistent talent across the front.
I think they were also smarter.
Well, that's part of being good.
Yeah.
Good is not just speed, it's everything.
Yeah, it's like we say a part of ability is, you know, with the Welker Edelman thing that we started with Rudy.
It's read and reaction.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
for Edelman, he can't stay on the field. That's part of ability.
Would you argue that Ninkovich has played well so far this year? Because I wouldn't.
No.
I think he's been below average. I think Hightower has been I haven't really seen him have an impact. You know, so in theory, you have these guys that are going to be good, but are they good right now? Are they something defenses are dealing with?
I'm hopeful. I see things that I say that they will improve.
Yes, they will improve, and they'll go to the Hall of Fame.
Specifically?
Hightower, Jones. I think the linebackers as a whole, Love and Wilfork, I think, are playing fine. I like what I've seen out of Greg.
But not Sunday night. They didn't play fine Sunday night.
Yeah, they did let up some. And that's why I know they can play better against the run than they did Sunday night for whatever reason.
That has certainly been trending in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You had that great opening performance, then it got worse, and then it got worse. You can't. And you might have found it get worse again if CJ Spiller
were playing.
I think
they read too many headlines. Rudy, you got anything
Sorry
else?
Sorry about that. That was my headline.
Yeah, just one more thing. So, as a Patriot fan, I should be concerned about what's going on right now with the offense?
No.
Number two seed.
Remember,
I think
they scored,
okay.
With all the problems they had, they scored 30 points on the Ravens, and the Ravens still have a pretty good defense
on the road.
That's
a good offense.
Bad communication, loud stadium. That stadium was jacked up.
The Patriots are going to have a good offense. I wouldn't worry about it. And, you know, they don't have, Andy pointed out, they don't have a lot of teams that are going to be able to do to them what Baltimore did.
The O-line's going to get better every game, and that's going to be a big key.
That, I wouldn't make that blanket.
You're sure about that?
I think it could just as easily go the other
way. Barring injury.
What are you more sure of, the O-line getting better or those guys on defense you said getting better, Jones and
Hightower? I'm a lot more encouraged by the latter.
I'm equally optimistic.
See, I think there's a chance that opposing defensive coordinators are going to look at that offensive line and say, ooh, this guy doesn't win a lot of one-on-one battles.
I particularly liked when Ryan Wendell was running around looking like, I should be blocking somebody, but, oh, no, who do I block?
Scott, by the way, don't
take anything he says true today. He's playing the therapist
Scott's
today.
Scott's in Raleigh. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Scott.
One of my two calls per year.
All right. You can call more than that if you want.
Yeah. I just want you guys to know, though, I do always listen. I've been listening. I remember when me and Craig from South Carolina were like the only two used to call you guys.
Now everybody calls and you can barely get through.
Yeah.
And Craig never does.
That's true.
So, yeah, I don't know what happened. Anyway.
He died.
No, he didn't.
The offense lost the game. That's why I called, you know, I do. We were up by 9 points in the fourth quarter and had the ball. You got to win that game.
Close it.
Period. That's it. There's, you know, you got to close it out.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels, I think since he's back, he's got just enough a-hole in him that I think that we will get that killer mentality. I think that's just who he is. So I think that's coming. And as Belichick always says, the season's a mosaic. The defense, I think it's going to improve. I think it's kind of a headache right now, but they just don't know what they're doing enough yet. They haven't turned them loose. They're not able to, you know, do things. It's that basic defense like you were talking about earlier, Fred.
It could be.
And they can't get out of it now. Once they learn and they, you know, get to the point where they can do some things, like moving what's-his-name around and all of that, I think you're going to see that. I really do. And by the time it's over, like last year, team was 5-3. They finished 13-3. You're going to see, you know, same type of thing.
They're 1-2. They're going to finish 14-2.
Well, I'm thinking 12-4. Okay. Feels like that kind of a season.
Yeah, they could go 12-4. Yeah, but I don't think they're going to rattle off 8 wins to finish the season.
I think they could go 12-4 and have the best record in the NFL.
Oh, that could happen too.
Yeah,
that could
I do.
Happen.
I think this is a crappy year for the league, and I think lower records are going to be higher seeds.
Yeah, them Pittsburgh and Green Bay are 1-2 right now.
And the Saints are 0-3.
Right.
All these Super Bowl teams.
Yep.
Yeah. But they'll be there at the end, though.
So. All right.
I agree.
So I won't keep you.
Okay,
thanks,
Scott.
Scott. Talk to you in 6 months.
Thanks for calling in, Scott. One more call. We'll go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
How are you?
We're good.
I thought I should try my accent from Las Vegas.
That was very good.
The French guy doing Vegas.
That's not a Vegas
accent.
I'm not sure what that is. But yeah.
It's a New England something. What's his name? Eddie Andelman accent or something.
It's the swimming in money accent. I love it.
Yeah.
Except not this week.
Yes.
He's drowning in debt.
Yes.
So I have an announcement to make. I quit my job today, and I applied to be an NFL referee. And I think I have a good chance.
I do, too.
Yes. We should all do that. I looked at the game. Of course, I didn't sleep that night. But how can you have 3 opportunities to make an interception and miss all of them?
I mean, that was a big part of the game. I mean, Flacco was throwing it up there, and Patriots didn't come down with any of them except for Gregory early.
You had chances.
Yeah, you had chances.
It appears that McCourty thinks that he's got it, and then he loses his concentration, and twice he drops the ball.
What is that? I have a picture with him, two hands on the ball.
Exactly.
Oh.
But is that the one that got knocked out?
It should give his paycheck back.
I don't know. You catch it, you bring it into your body, and that's it.
He was decked.
No.
Well, there was one he dropped, but he was going to the ground.
Yeah. I think you're talking about the one that was knocked
out.
The
one he jumped up and had two hands on, he got – Torrey Smith made a great play. He came over and hit him. Hit the ball right out of his hands.
Played pass defense like we'd like Gordy to play pass defense.
Well, do you guys have confidence that we're going to be improving? You know, the previous caller is kind of right. But you know what? We always say, this is a long season. You know,
it is a long season.
Two games. And this could be a big difference between having home field advantage or not.
Listen, we're going to be fine.
The only
2003,
thing,
we lost two games in a row, and we ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, only the paranoid survive, and I'm a paranoid.
Right.
You shouldn't be too optimistic.
I'm optimistic. They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. Look at the rest of the league. They're going to be fine.
I don't feel the passion in this. You're doing what you're saying, what you're supposed to say, but I don't feel the passion.
Making,
no,
making stuff up.
I'm
about
not.
Consecutive
I
losses.
There's nothing forced here.
You know what?
There's
I'm
nothing.
They're
going to
go into Buffalo, and they're going to do a number on the Buffalo that you're going to come out
the
of that game and say.
Let me ask you something.
Right. What do you got?
Give me a 48-3 win. How much better do you feel?
A lot better.
See, I don't.
Why?
Because Buffalo stinks.
But that's what you should be doing.
And that's what you are. You're a team that can beat up on the weaklings.
Okay. Well,
you know, one thing about McDaniels is that I'm
very
not sure
negative.
He's the
very
right
negative.
Guy for us.
I'm more concerned than you and Andy. I'll say that.
Okay.
I'm more concerned.
All right.
Everything but Patriots.com.
Well, it's okay. We're back to where we should be. Everything is right. The balance
is true.
In the universe.
Well, we started the show with, I think, the ultimate on that. When Andy called you out.
What'd I do?
I knew we were going to go to Baltimore and put 30-plus on the board when you didn't think we could go to Tennessee and get a first down.
I just knew it. I said it, and I put it in writing.
So assuming you knew that.
What?
Is on the blog, I put it in writing before the game.
God. Oh, all right.
Are you confident in this offense?
Why do you think they could get a first down against Tennessee? That's the part I don't understand. I don't have a problem with your prediction for Baltimore. It's when you were completely concerned about the offense heading into the season that I didn't get.
Because I hadn't seen anything yet.
They hadn't played.
That's right. So, but what?
Now that they're 1-2, he's seen enough.
And by the way, in one of those games, they were completely shut down.
Based on what I saw, I was worried. And you're the guys that weren't.
Right.
I got nothing to worry about.
I never was. I wasn't, and
it.
I won't be.
You guys change every week.
No, I don't.
I
you change
Fred,
every
you
week.
Go back and look at the show where we come out of the thing with you saying you're concerned about the offense.
Right.
And what did I say? I'm still not concerned. And I'm not.
You. That's true. Andy's the need.
I was
Andy.
A little worried last week.
I'm not concerned.
Hey, we're talking here.
If you had said the thing about 30 points against Baltimore, I would have thought that was high, but I wouldn't have thought it was outrageous.
Right. What else you got, Olivier?
I just got a phone call from John Rook. He says it's okay if we spend another half an hour and impede on his show. Everything is cool.
John Rook just gave you a dirty look.
Yeah.
Olivier.
All right. Thanks for the call, Olivier. TG and NJ writes in, with that release from the NFL about the Packers-Seahawks game, it's obvious now the NFL stands for National Fraternity of Lawyers. So,
but usually the referees are part of that fraternity.
But you know,
Summer of Gronk tonight on E60 at 7.
Yeah,
by the way,
supposedly a 17-minute feature on him.
We talked about the
that's cool
the fantasy
sure
impact of the call last night. We talked about that.
Huge.
Mark writes in. He says Matthew Berry tweeted last night, of all that started, Green Bay defense or special teams, an estimated 67,000 people won or lost because of the ruling on that last play.
Wow.
That'll get Goodell's attention.
Sure. I thought you were John Rook, Kevin. You're not.
Wow.
Quickly.
So you got that going for you, John.
Blake writes in. He's from Southern California. F. Ed Reed. Come on, Fred. You know you'd love it if he was a Patriot. I know I would. He's all over the field, would most definitely help our corners out. Not to mention the entire defense. Chances are he could be next year, him being a free agent this coming offseason and Bill's man crush on him.
And Fred will love him, and then I'll tell you in practice, wow, he looks like he really lost
We're going to get him. He's going to be like 60 years old by the time we get him.
And you'll say he's great, and you'll buy a jersey.
You know what?
Just so it can say, quote, I want one that says Reed on the back.
Look, he's a Raven. Anyway. He was headhunting. F. Ed Reed. That's all I can say. All right? When he's over here, maybe I'll change my mind.
Well,
but I'm
no
saying
chance,
that
there's
right
no
now.
There's no chance of that because he's retired. He's
right. He's yeah. So,
did you read any of like the 80,000 emails?
No, I'm going through them
he's
right
trying
now.
Trying to get them done now.
Looking
in the last
down
3 minutes.
It's like new email. Just
Lance writes in. You guys keep saying we won't face a stellar offense for 2 months. I disagree. Buffalo has a good offense so far. Until Spiller went down, they had the NFL's leading rusher. Ryan Fitzpatrick was leading the NFL in TD passes coming into week three. But Cordy better get help against Stevie Johnson. That guy makes Revis look like an amateur. They may also have Fred Jackson back, if not Tashard Choice is a decent back. Now, they've got some weapons, but I'm telling you, the Patriots are just going to go in there and just level them.
It's not a good offense. It's
nothing close
to
the Ravens.
No, they've got some playmakers.
They have some guys. They're not even close to the Ravens.
They have a bunch of, Stevie Johnson is a Jag receiver. He really isn't that good. He's just the best that Buffalo has, so he gets the, it's like Jabbar Gaffney in Washington.
I'll agree with you. They have all the pieces, but they're all worse than the Ravens. Their big play receiver is not as good as the Ravens. Their quarterback is not as good as the Ravens. Their running back, by the way, the one who was maybe in the same league in terms of yardage, isn't going to play. He's hurt.
Yeah, he's
not
out.
As good as the Ravens. The Ravens are better at everything than what you're going to face in Buffalo.
Now, I will say I respect Fred Jackson, and if he is healthy and able to return, that makes it harder. But
he's not going to be.
He's not going to be healthy. He's not going to. I mean, he
plus
might,
they cut Brian Moorman, their best player.
He might play, but he's not going to be ready to play. He's rushing back for this game.
All right, we got a ton of emails that we didn't get to, but John Rook will with Patriots Playbook.
Save them for me?
Yeah, John's here. How you doing?
Well, what are we talking about? What's going on?
Oh,
I've actually been, you know, out of the country for the last 24 hours.
Well, you still would have heard about it because it was front page news in Sweden.
Yeah, I think
the,
so.
The referee debacle.
Sweden, Denmark, Finland.
Everywhere.
Every place, right?
The NFL's a global joke right now.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it
sad. Is. That is sad. That's a sad commentary.
So John, what's your take?
On which?
I don't know.
I'm going to need you to be more specific.
Well, you know, my take is that as far as the Patriots
gonna
go,
we're going to kill the Bills.
You know, I think they're going to take it on the Bills.
Piss and vinegar.
I see a lot of reason to be optimistic about this team. I'm not panicking that they've lost two in a row. I see a lot of improvement. I see a lot of reasons to expect a lot of improvement from both the offense and the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put that up against the rest of the league, I think the Patriots are going to be fine. I really do.
I can certainly understand why you would have at least a modicum of confidence, simply because, you know, there are really only a couple of plays separating this team being 1-2 to 3-0.
3 points?
Yeah, if that, really. So I can understand looking at it as the glass, certainly glass half full. Can also see the glass half empty as well. A lot of that has to do with just the fact that I believe this team is still trying to find itself, that maybe the metamorphosis from Bill O'Brien to Josh McDaniels isn't quite going as quickly as many of us anticipated. I would also tell you that, you know, the defense took, you know, I think, admittedly, a step backward on Sunday night. But again, you were facing perhaps one of the, you know, one of the best teams overall in the NFL. So there's a lot of different ways you can look at it. Maybe we overestimated this team to begin with. I kind of tend to think that we did, and maybe even I did, because I thought this team was capable of 14-2.
Even you?
Believe it or not,
wow.
Even me. Even the cockeyed optimist.
I brought you up. John Rook will bring you back down.
On Nitpick Tuesday.
On Patriots Playbook, and of course, don't forget 4 o'clock Fantasy Football Champs. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.